and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
Oh, where do we begin on this Wednesday? Oh, my goodness. This is going to be fun. Good morning to you. Joe Bartlett filling in for Michael Riedel. How are you, Joe?
I'm doing great, Len. Happy to be here.
Mike Bauer, happy to have you aboard.
Thank you, sir.
You know, I love these newsroom fights because you began your newscast with a shocking story out of the White House that Sarah Sanders could not definitely admit that there is no tape with the N-word, and Bartlett was like going nuts. He said, "Shocking, shocking! How do you call that shocking?" So, can you two, you two, want to discuss? Because Joe's the news director.
Well, that's Terry. I'll take it up with Terry in a second.
Blaming Terry, the writer?
Yeah,
shocking.
Shocking.
Wait a second. Isn't this shocking? You tell me.
Just to be clear, you can't guarantee it.
Look, I haven't been in every single room. I can tell you, the president has addressed this directly. He's addressed it directly to the American people, and I can tell you what the focus and the heart of the president is, and that's on helping all Americans.
So she can't guarantee that there isn't a tape that's going to surface with the N-word. A little surprising, though, because she
I don't think so.
Oh, yes.
No.
She defends him to the, ends of the earth.
Stupid question,
No, it
wasn't. Len.
It was a very fair question.
Could I say with the, absolute certainty that you never used that word?
How many times has she...
Could I say that?
Yes. And how many times?
No, I can't.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't.
I've never used that word.
What?
But I'm telling you right now that she defends him on everything to the ends of the earth, and all of a sudden, it's humana. I'm going to vote with Bauer on this one. I thought that was shocking.
I mean, in the past, she has kind of, if he says it hasn't happened or it doesn't exist, then she'll just kind of repeat that moniker and go, yeah, the president says it doesn't exist, it's not existing. I think in this particular case, she's opened that door, and perhaps it was the Omarosa tapes yesterday from others that were inside the White House that didn't necessarily deny, in fact, trying to kind of create a spin as if the tape did come out, how would we look at this?
I think this is a result of people thinking of Donald Trump and knowing him and saying, well, maybe he did say it. You know, it's very possible he may have at some point used that word.
Well, he's very free speaking, right, guys?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
That's part of the thing about Donald Trump.
And by
Trump.
The way, but the other thing, too, is it's already baked into him if he did say it.
Yeah, that's what someone on Fox said. You must be watching Fox. That's the exact, exact phrase that some Fox commentator, well, it's already baked in. I will tell you this. If it turns out he said the word, will it have any effect whatsoever on anybody? I can't answer
that. Here's what's going on. This question was more designed to put that reporter in the spotlight rather than trying to elicit any useful information.
That was Walker from NBC.
Kristen Welker, I know. And she and Jonathan Carl, they do their very best to get themselves...
Oh, you're going to pick on Carl, too, because he may be a guest today.
Well, their questions always seem to be more important than the answers.
Well, let's you ask Carl that.
If
he comes on, I want to see if you have the guts to ask him that. Because I think Carl's very fair...
In the past, when they had presidential news conferences, you never saw the reporters... They asked a question, and then the person answered. It wasn't about getting the reporter in the spotlight.
They have more cameras now.
No,
they shoot from all angles. I told you this was going to be fun.
This is great.
Right away.
This is great. Here we go. 4 hours of this, folks. Our big three. Now, this is shocking. The real shocking story is the one out of Pennsylvania.
That is shocking.
300 priests, at least, sexually assaulted and abused 1,000 victims, at least. Almost all the priests will skate. The statute of limitations has run out. Also in the big three, the Trump campaign has filed arbitration claiming that Omarosa violated her nondisclosure agreement. The press secretary, as we mentioned, cannot guarantee that a Trump tape with the N-word does not exist. And rounding out the big three, a crazy story in Great Neck. You know, it opens your eyes when someone's shot to death in Great Neck. And, you know, that's a neighboring town to me. And, well, in this story, a woman invites a guest for dessert. And then, you know, she comes in, has dessert, and then stabs her to death. Unbelievable. Okay,
are you done with your coffee?
Yeah. Are you done with that? Maybe she wanted the cake, the leftover cake.
It's a very weird story.
It really is.
Very weird.
We shall discuss. Okay. At 7:30, we have Mets tickets. In fact, Michael is not here in person, but he left behind his personal Mets tickets. We shall give them away at 7:30 for a Mets-Marlins game, September the 10th. And at 8:30, we'll have the turning point. The Mets lost last night. They actually got a decent pitching performance from Jason Vargas, which has been a rarity, but the bullpen let him down.
Yeah, how many times have we heard that?
bullpen lost it, and the Orioles beat the Mets 6-3. The two teams will go at it again as they finish up this abbreviated two-game series, and our coverage tonight here on 710 WOR begins at 6:05. So you're going to maintain that this is all about White House reporters trying to get FaceTime and making a name for themselves. Is that
well,
what you're saying?
I think that question, it's kind of hard to say, you know, did he ever say it? And maybe the question should have been, if you really wanted to get, did he ever say it in your presence? And then she could have said that, she right. said.
She could have said no to could, that.
Of course.
Yeah.
But it's framed in such a way to get the answer that is going to, you know, that they can run with.
Do you have a feeling we're going to take a lot of phone calls today?
I hope so.
I do.
I hope so.
Listen, Tom, you're the leadoff hitter from the Bronx.
Yes, thanks for calling. Thank you.
Bright and
thank
early. What do you think, Tom?
I think, look, as bad as the accusation is about President Trump, we'd still be in worse shape.
Yeah.
With Hillary Clinton.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
And Hillary Clinton can curse like a sailor, a drunken one.
Do we know that?
When she wants.
Do you think she ever used that word?
I don't know. You got
I bet she did.
She's been documented using that
really?
Word plus.
I'm sure she
really?
Has.
Is that true?
I am sure.
I'm shocked. That's a shocking story, Joe Bartley.
But, all right. True.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks for listening, Tom. Appreciate it.
But come on, Len.
Didn't even give out the phone number and people are calling us. What?
It was an unfair question. And what Jonathan Carl's question was about hiring, right?
Well
he says he hires the best people.
Well, yes, and the fact that the president called Omarosa dog. I think that's what it was all about. Hopefully we'll connect with Jonathan Carl later on because I'd like to talk to him, and I'd like to ask him your question. Are these guys, and it's a fair question, when these guys at the White House press briefing, are they just standing up and trying to put on a dog and pony show, or are they really trying to get information from Sarah Sanders?
But did you ever see these reports? Well, like, occasionally. Like there were some sort of spats at the White House when Obama was president, but not every single day.
All right, let's listen to Jonathan Carl. You think this is grandstanding?
Is this any way for a president to talk about any American, let alone somebody that he hired and made the highest ranking African-American woman that served in his White House?
I think the president is certainly voicing his frustration with the fact that this person has shown a complete lack of integrity.
Why did he hire her? I mean, why did he hire somebody he's describing as a dog, as a low-life?
If the president wanted to give her a chance.
It's about calling Omarosa a dog.
There is a little accusatory side to the question. You know, you could ask it of more fairly.
Well, we'll see if you have a spine. If Carl comes on,
I'll talk to him.
Are you going to say to him, Carl, you could have asked that question more fairly?
Well, no, but the way there's a little edge to the question. There is an edge to the question.
Okay, well,
the confrontational part.
Monica in New Jersey. Good morning to you, Monica. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm fine, thank you. 68 million people plus have a contract with this president. And the president is upholding his contract with the American people. We know this president. We don't care about what he has said because we know that he wouldn't use that word. We know it, and we have his back. So, President Trump, if you're listening, don't you worry. 2020. For you, President.
Oh, Monica. There you go, Monica. Monica's on the Trump train. You know what I really would love to know, seriously? Let's say a tape comes out. I know this is all what if. Yeah. What if a tape comes out?
Yeah.
Would that change any vote among African Americans? Or are people just, as you use the phrase, baked in when it comes to the president, one way or the other, and no matter what comes out. And that, listen, it started in the campaign with the Access Hollywood tape. When that tape came out, there were a lot of people who thought, that's the end, that's it, it's all over, and it wasn't.
Well, you'd have to take it in context, how he used it.
How he used it? Yeah, well, it's just a rapper doing a song allowed to do it.
They're allowed to do it.
Apparently they are, but I don't think Donald Trump is.
But see, this is the other thing about this word, and it's repugnant. It's so repugnant we can't say it.
That's correct.
Unless you're a rapper and singing. Well, then you can say it.
That's
It's crazy
that's the way things work.
That this word is so poisonous for white people, it's ubiquitous. If you are a person of
color.
It's
called a double standard, but I understand it because you and I didn't go through slavery. So well, I understand.
Neither did these rappers.
Well, but their ancestors did. So I get it.
Not all of them.
Oh boy. And this is just the first segment of the show.
By the way, let me tell you.
What?
August 15th.
Feast of the Assumption. I knew
very
it.
Good.
That's why there's no alternate side of the street parking. Do I know my religious holidays? I said to Bartlett, what the hell's the Feast of the Assumption? He said, well, the mother went up there.
Blessed Mother ascended to heaven, yes.
So what about August 15th?
It is National Relaxation Day.
Not on this show. It's an important day.
We all need a break from the fast-paced and often hectic lifestyles that we live.
Hey, Blaine's filling a finale. Get a little spa music.
Okay.
We're gonna need it.
I'll light some Yankee candles.
For a national.
We're gonna need it.
Okay.
When we come back, we got a lot to discuss. We've got the Great Neck Murder. You know, that lady was not very hospitable. But first, Bernie Viter has traffic.
Dorito in the morning. We come together. 710 WOR.
As we come up at 6:24-ish on Wednesday, we've got a heat advisory until tomorrow evening. So it's going to be real hot here. Joe Bartlett filling in for Michael Riedel. And what'd you tell me today is National what?
National Relaxation Day.
We need that around here. Because you know what? I think the political debate is just so heated, Joe. And I think we need to just take a step back. Enjoy each other's company. Enjoy the finer things in life, like breathing, eating,
reading a book,
having an adult beverage, just enjoying life.
Window shopping.
Let's do 4 hours of this, because I think our listeners would really enjoy this, because they're driving to work, they're unhappy. You know who's really unhappy? New Jersey Transit. Do you believe there are 1 hour delays?
Well, just tell them to relax.
It'll in and out right. of New York Penn because of Amtrak issues.
Just
so
relax. Okay.
Just relax.
Enjoy the moment. Take some time.
Relaxation day. Okay.
Have you ever meditated?
No. Have you?
Yeah, I tried.
I don't need to. I'm just so
evil. Well, you're so cool. My wife, Jean, she did transcendental meditation.
Really?
Well, she way back when we first met, she was doing it. But I've meditated. It's nice.
Okay.
So you just kind of clear your thoughts, Len.
That's lovely.
Get ready for the day.
Well, this British tourist is not going to have any thoughts because she showed. Now, this is the craziest story. Faye Dumption lives in Great Neck. She's 66. She met this British tourist and invited them to come over and, you know, have some dessert. And they were going to play the piano. They're going to have a nice time. And apparently she just snapped.
Yeah, they had some coffee, the cake. And then this woman, the victim who was stabbed, did not know Dumchin, apparently.
Right.
They had a male friend in common.
Right.
The male friend was visiting Dumchin and brought along this other woman from England. And according to the police, Dumchin wanted to get rid of evil.
Okay, listen, this is Nassau County Police Detective Lieutenant Stephen Fitzpatrick.
Sometime while they were sitting in the living room, they were talking, and the woman made statements that she did not like the woman from England. She claimed she needed to rid the house of evil.
Really? Wow. And then she proceeds to...
She then appeared from the kitchen with a kitchen knife, walked right over to her, and stabbed her in the chest.
Oh,
this woman died as a result of these injuries.
What an unbelievable story.
Where was the male guy? Didn't he intervene?
Jeez, this is unbelievable. Neighbors, of course. What do you expect him to say in Great Neck?
Unheard of. I could never imagine something from her.
Of course, it's scary, you know. It's a couple houses down the block, and to think this woman was just living there and something set her off.
Yeah.
They said she was such a loving mother and so kind.
Shocked. Really shocked. Really shocked.
How do people just snap like that? Want to rid the house of a devil and then kill someone with a knife?
Well, obviously, she had some issues.
Yeah, well, she's going to have them behind bars for the rest of her life. 66 years old. Well, you know, they'll claim she's nuts.
Well, she definitely is nuts. You sit there talk to somebody and say, excuse me, I'll be right back. I'm going to get a knife and kill you.
She pleaded not guilty. I love that.
I would hope so.
Well, what do you expect? Hey, you know, we were talking about that assault yesterday, which just was awful. It happened in Brooklyn. There were some subway riders not happy that a subway train, was going to the express route. They missed their stop. So that when the train stops, they walk over on the platform and through the open window, they start assaulting the conductor. They start punching.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Andy Byford is the obviously the MTA guy, and well, he had some comments about it yesterday.
It was disgusting. It was appalling. We are not going to tolerate this depressing tsunami of assaults on our staff.
Yeah, true. They've got to find what these guys.
Call it a tsunami?
He called it a tsunami of assaults. Why are there others?
Oh yes, the Transit Workers Union held a news conference yesterday. Very upset with the increasing number of attacks on TWU workers.
Is that because they're just frustrated? The riders.
Yeah, well, yeah. There's a lot of frustration in the subway.
Why don't they just pipe this in on the subways? If they just play this music, I think wouldn't that be? If you take your subway ride. Take a deep breath.
Sorry, stop. Folks. This is Express only. You're going to miss your stop.
You're going to miss your stop, but you're going to be relaxed. And we'll play the music on the other train going downtown when you try to get to your stop. And don't punch anybody, please. So,
yeah. We're going to play that when we discuss the Donald Trump story next hour.
Yeah, we should.
And we're going to need it.
Yeah, we do.
It was shocking to me. In fact, I would go further to say it was disgusting. It was appalling when I saw that footage just the other day. It's a sad state of affairs that we have to provide transit workers, people who are just doing their job, trying to get New Yorkers from A to B, that we have to even consider such an option.
Well, they have video of these guys doing the assault. Let's get these creeps and let's throw them in jail.
You know what the option is? They want body cams on transit workers.
Wow. You believe that?
That's what it's come to.
Time for the latest news headlines with Joe Bartlett filling in for Michael Riedel. We have Mike Bauer for Joe Bartlett. Good morning to you, Mike.
Good morning, Len. Good morning, Joe. Omarosa is out with more claims against President Trump. She tells Katie Turr on MSNBC that Trump knew Hillary Clinton's emails would be released even before they were made public.
Did Donald Trump know about those emails before they came out?
Absolutely.
He knew about them.
Yes.
He knew what was coming out before WikiLeaks released them.
Omarosa. Aha, collusion. There you go, Joe.
Now listen to this, Len. Omarosa says there's a lot of corruption in the White House.
No, and I'm shocked.
She is going to be the whistleblower.
You know what? Stop with her already. I mean, her time is up. She's not credible. And you know what bothers me most about that? You watch her on television. She's enjoying this moment because it's all about her. It's focusing on her. And she doesn't know diddly.
Well, who do you think is enjoying the moment more, she or Michael Avenatti? What if you had a
Well, Avenatti's not happy because he should be doing this.
Yeah, well, he's running for president.
So. Come on.
Right, he wants, it's his camera time. This he should be the one there, right?
Garbage. This is garbage.
He's the one who's got the apartment under CNN that can be called up at any time when they need him, right?
I think this is all straight and narrow, and this is perfect. I mean, I don't know what
you're
talking about.
Come on. Even you don't believe half the stuff she's saying.
Joe, I think you just need to take a deep breath. Just accept the fact. What's going on?
Morosa.
Morosa.
That was very good.
Morosa. Cynthia Nixon, fellas, is upset with Governor Cuomo and CBS. She says the network gave into all of Cuomo's demands for their Democratic primary debate this month.
Unfortunately, all of the terms of the debate have already been settled, and CBS was very frank with us that they really didn't have a choice, that these were his demands, and if they were not acceded to, he wouldn't show up.
And you know what the demand is? Every time Cuomo is asked a question, Cynthia Nixon will get 20 seconds to respond.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. She gets 20 seconds. He can go as long as he wants.
That's not true.
Nixon
no,
does.
No, I know. But what is true is they plan this debate in the second deadest week of the year. It's the week before Labor Day, so no one's going to be watching this thing. Everyone's on vacation. You know, other than Christmas, this is like
nobody watches these things anyway.
Oh, that's true.
Now, Nixon says they won't even be allowed to stand during the debate.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, she was looking forward to going toe-to-toe with Cuomo. Now she's got to sit down next to Cuomo on a certain level or across from Cuomo.
Knees to knees.
And I was telling Len about this earlier before we came in here this morning, that the Cleveland Browns, if they win a game this season, you had the 0-16 season last season.
Yeah, they haven't won in, yeah.
If they win, when they win, or if they win, it depends on how optimistic you are, this season, fans will celebrate with a free beer. Bud Light is placing what they're calling victory refrigerators filled with cans of beer at bars, 10 bars around the Cleveland area. Now, if and when the Browns win a game, those refrigerators will be unlocked through Wi-Fi. Just open up. The door will just pop open like Geraldo at a vault or something. And those refrigerators will pop open. Fans inside the bar will be eligible to get a 16-ounce beer from that refrigerator. So if they get the win, you get the free beer.
There's going to be fights.
Now, just remember, this is the city, this is before your time, Mike, that had nickel beer night. The Cleveland Indians were playing the Texas Rangers in some genius in promotions. Billy Martin, of all people, was the manager of Texas at the time. This is in the early 70s. Nickel beer night. You're not going to guess what happened.
Oh, I
Brawls. The game got forfeited. Fans are running on the field, tearing up.
A lot of drunk people.
I think they should rethink this beer in Cleveland business.
Somehow they're planning on limiting this to one person. Yeah, one individual gets one beer and that's it. I don't know how you're going to control that.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be a good time for Cleveland. They got a good team. And I love this guy, Baker Mayfield. Looks all good.
Right. Well, they'll win again quarterback. This year. They will not go winless this year. Hey, we get back. We'll have more sports. We have the Mets, the Yankees. And how about Derek Jeter's bilingual baseball team? This is fascinating, and Barlow wants to froth at the mouth over this one. But first, let's see what's doing with traffic. Here's Bernie Viter.
710 WOR.
Yeah, 640. This is the time we normally talk about some sports stuff, and we will in just a second. But, Joe, I have to tell you, people have been emailing. I mean, obviously, everyone's got something to say about something. You can email us directly at our website, which is 710WOR.com/LenaMichael. You can email me directly, Michael, privately, same as Joe. And one email caught my eye. We were talking about the conductor on the subway train.
Yep.
And a couple of people beat him up because they were upset that the train went to express and they missed their local stop. So when they got to the platform, they started punching through the window at the conductor, which is just despicable. So David emails me. He says, the train conductor probably didn't mention ahead of time before the train pulled out that it was going express as he's supposed to do so.
Oh, so that's...
Really?
Yeah, okay. So that's the reason for him
that's
to be beat up. Yeah.
So, David, okay, so let's assault the guy, the poor guy in his booth. What are you... Come on, David. That's nonsense.
It's crazy. I watched that video again, and the woman joins in, too. It's both a man and a woman beating the guy.
And she says, get him, yeah, get him, yeah. Get him. Unbelievable.
Hopefully they get done.
So let's talk a little Mets baseball. They went to Baltimore last night. And as we say each day, I saw they took the lead.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, this is safe. Yep. You know, I can go to sleep. Everything's fine. And you wake up and find out they lost 6-3. They were up 2-1.
Yes, they were. I saw that early. Yep.
Yeah, and Jason Vargas was on the mound. He's had just a terrible season since the Mets brought him over. And but he pitched well. He actually made it through six innings for the first time. Can you believe that's what baseball has come to, Joe?
Yeah,
wow.
Six innings.
You make it through six innings. What an accomplishment. You know, those guys used to pitch until their arms fell off. There's a famous game with Juan Marichal and Warren Spahn where they pitched 13 or 14 or 15 innings. Both of them. The entire game. They both threw 200 to 300 pitches. I think Willie Mays finally won the game for the Giants with a home run. But that's the way it used to be.
And why didn't they have arm trouble?
That's a great question.
Well, I think some of it is they probably didn't pitch as much as young kids as these guys do today.
Tommy John has told me that. You know, the Tommy John who they named the Tommy John surgery after because he was the first one to have it. He said that's the biggest problem. These kids are pitching from Little League on, and you really need to space it out. You can't overwork these arms.
I remember when my son was playing baseball in high school, and he was pitching for a while, and then he didn't pitch anymore. I said, how do you feel about that? Are you upset? He goes, no, my arm doesn't hurt anymore.
And also those guys pitched with pain. And, you know, Mickey Mantle famously taped up bloody legs every game. Those guys just played.
Yeah.
It was none of this nonsense. I mean, I don't think the disabled list was used one-tenth of the amount of time back in the day.
Oh, you get a little tweak. Forget it.
But these guys are expensive properties.
Yeah.
I mean, really are.
They are.
So anyway, the Mets took the lead 2-1 in Baltimore. Adam Jones tied it with a home run on Vargas in the sixth. So Vargas pitched six innings, gave up two runs for him. That was a great accomplishment.
This is how low the bar is now.
Yeah, pretty much so. But then in the seventh inning with reliever Bobby Wall on the mound, and at the plate was Chris Davis.
1-0 is bashed deep in the air. Right center field, going to the track, going to the wall. It's gone. Chris Davis home run. And it's Baltimore 3 and the Mets 2.
Who's Bobby Wall?
Yeah, I have no
idea. I've never heard of this guy.
I haven't either.
Wow.
WAHL. I have to tell you, there are guys on the roster in the bullpen that I'm really not that familiar with.
Yeah, I know.
And I hate to say that, having been a longtime sportscaster, but, you know, in my defense, I'm usually asleep before the bullpen gets called.
That's when the bad stuff happens. I know, yeah.
So anyway, they wound up losing the game 6-3. And they play again tonight in Baltimore, and then they have a doubleheader tomorrow in Philadelphia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so tonight's game in Baltimore, 6:05. Our coverage begins here on WOR. Now, every week, a Tuesday night, reliever Jerry Blevins, you've heard of him.
Yes.
Sleeper.
Yeah.
Jerry Blevins, who's not having a great year, but he does talk well. And every week on Tuesday, he's on with Pete McCarthy on Mets on Deck. And last night, they got to talk about Captain David Wright, because David Wright now is rehabbing. He's playing a few games in St. Lucie. Hasn't gotten a hit, but he's played in the field. And Pete asked Jerry Blevins about David Wright, the captain.
I'm rooting him on. I'm shooting him a text message, telling him I'm thinking about him, that kind of stuff. But as far as I go, I'm a huge fan. You know, it's great for the Mets organization. It's great for the fans. And it's great for David Wright. This guy has gone through so much physically and emotionally to be able to, you know, hopefully come back would be, you know, one of those, you know, shining silver linings in it, what's been, you know, kind of a down year for us. So, you know, I'm rooting for my friends to pull through, and I'm rooting for the Mets organization to get the captain back.
Well, I think everyone feels the same way, but I think it is really against all odds.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very, very difficult. As for the Yankees, they won last night. J. A. Happ pitched well, but the Red Sox. J. A. Happ.
No, it's J.
His initials are J.
I know what his initials are.
So why do you call him?
I got this officially from Ray Martell,
right?
Our the executive producer for the Mets broadcast. Right. I said, "What's the what? How do you pronounce a guy's name? Well, how do you say?" He goes, "It's J A, but he goes by J."
Okay, well, his initials are J A, and Martell does the Mets. He doesn't do the Yankees.
Well, they don't call him J A.
Yeah, they do. Sure, they do.
No, they don't.
Okay.
I didn't watch the Yankee game, so I can't tell you.
You can't tell you. Anyway, but the Red Sox won again.
That's unbelievable.
With a late home run. And you know, the Red Sox, you know what their record is? It's 86-35, Joe.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a 7-11 clip. That's just beyond belief. And the Yankees are 10 games back. If you're a stats guy and I'm not, here's a key reason why. Since the All-Star game, the Yankees are 8th in the league in batting average and 10th in the league in earned run average.
Wow.
So they're not playing, you know, so they're fading because they're not up to stuff. Now, former Yankee Derek Jeter, who's now running the Miami franchise, this story came out. Was this is this factual or is this just a report? Or what do you think? Do you think it's true?
No, I mean, he is requiring minor league ball players who play in his organization, the Miami Marlins, to learn Spanish.
So this is the English-speaking players.
If you're an English-speaking player, you have to learn Spanish.
And if you're a Spanish,
you have to learn English.
So you have to speak both languages if you play for Miami.
Right. Now does that doesn't really sit well with me?
Why is that, Joe?
Because I am being instructed. I would be instructed by an employer to have to learn to speak a foreign language to do my job in America.
And this is the American pastime, huh? This is America, folks. How can why do you have to
Well, come on. One of my nephews did not get a job because he could not speak Spanish. And it's not a Spanish company that he was working for.
Really?
Yes.
What kind of a company? What was the business?
I'm not going to tell you the company because
What type of business?
The service industry.
Okay. And he couldn't speak Spanish?
Couldn't speak Spanish. Could not get a job.
It makes me crazy when they say push one to speak English. This is America. You shouldn't have to push anything to speak
you
English.
You should. Look,
English.
I feel at a disadvantage because I don't speak
Spanish. I wish I spoke Spanish.
So do I. But you know what? It's almost become necessary now, and that's sad.
Yeah.
This is America, Len.
Speak American.
Speak American.
Coming up next, a really, really tough, sad, awful story. The massive pre-sexual abuse case in Pennsylvania, and they can't prosecute? Really? Let's see what the traffic's doing. Here's Bernie Viter.
O.R.
And joined by Joe Bartlett this morning with Michael Riedelott. I'm glad Joe was here to talk about the pre-scandal.
I'm here.
Well, because I think your perspective is valuable to me because you are a practicing Catholic, and I think this is a story that that you would feel sensitivity towards, might have some experience with. We all know the movie Spotlight from Boston,
yes.
And now this story seems similar, where a priest will be accused of something and they would cover it up by just sending him to another parish. So we'll talk about that in 1 second. I just want to follow up. We're doing a story about Derek Jeter before, and he's running the Miami franchise in baseball, and he's requiring the Spanish players to learn English and the English players to learn Spanish, which Joe Bartlett's not happy about at all. So our esteemed engineer Skipper, who is the expert on all things south of the Mason-Dixon line, he says, well, you know, English and Spanish are both official languages in Miami. Is that what you said, Mr. Skipper? Thumbs up, yeah? Well, here's what it says on the internet, Skip. You can agree or disagree. It says, English is the official language of Miami, But due to the large immigration of people from various Spanish-speaking regions, Spanish is also a dominant language and is spoken by 60% of the population. But it's not an official language, okay? It's English is still the official language here in America.
Well, yeah, unofficially, it's the dominant language in Miami. But the bottom...
No, Spanish is.
Okay, dominant. The bottom line is...
Yeah.
You are being required to learn a foreign language to do a job in America.
Correct.
Does that sound right to you?
No.
Okay.
It doesn't sound right.
I'm glad to hear that.
This is America. Come on, America first. That's what my president says.
But I will say this. Practically speaking, you probably should learn Spanish to function. Certainly,
I wish I had a city
like Miami.
I took French. I had no choice in junior high to take French. Then on my own, I took Russian. Now, how far did that get me?
Yeah, right.
Could help me to collude a little bit. Hey, this story out of Pennsylvania is so disturbing on so many levels. More than 1,000 children sexually abused. Now, this goes back to the 50s.
Yeah.
This is Allentown and Erie and Greensburg and Harrisburg and Pittsburgh and Scranton.
Most of Pennsylvania, those, yeah, almost the entire state.
1.7 million Catholics. Yeah. But 301 priests at least, and almost all of them cannot be prosecuted because of the statute of limitations, Joe. And they're fighting this in New York as well. And it's still on the books. And they've been trying to change it, and we can't change it in our state legislature. So obviously it exists in other places too.
Well, the issue is whether or not, in Pennsylvania anyway, they can extend the statute of limitation for some of these cases so that the priests can be prosecuted. In most cases, there's a lot of these guys that are being accused are dead, not in the priesthood. This happened so long ago.
If they're not in the priesthood, that you can still prosecute them, but if they're dead,
well, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, but it happened so long ago, it might be hard to get credible testimony.
Do we know how? I'm looking at the story while you're talking. Do we know how long the statute of limitations is?
It was usually about, I think, years? No, usually about 7 years, I think.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, yeah, something like that. But yeah. The thing is here, it's just, I mean, this is really painful if you're a Catholic to just have this sort of scandal hang over the church. And it seems it's everywhere. We had the situation in Boston, of course, that got all the notoriety, that actually one that brought this all to light. And it's just from diocese to diocese, it is a huge problem. And it appears that the hierarchy of the church really was more concerned with tamping down the scandal and protecting those doing the abuse.
And they would shuffle them off to another
absolutely.
District, right?
That was the philosophy.
Wow.
It's painful. And it's disappointing that it went on for so long.
Did you ever experience anything or hear of anyone?
No. I was an altar boy when I was young. Yeah. Went to Catholic school, when you did the Mass and did all the sacraments and, did a lot of work around the church. Never was involved in any kind of abuse, not even a hint of it.
No hint of anyone
you
knew?
No, and I've known a lot of priests along the way. Yeah. And I was never personally exposed to any of this, but obviously it was very prevalent.
This is the Pennsylvania Attorney General, Josh Shapiro.
We feel certain that many victims never came forward and that the diocese did not create written records every single time they heard something about abuse, the grand jurors wrote. Dozens of witnesses testified before the grand jury detailing acts of sexual abuse by priests and how senior church officials covered up their criminal conduct, prioritizing their institution over the safety and welfare of these young boys and girls.
You know what they would do? This it's despicable. They would give a gold cross to the kids that they had abused.
Yeah.
And that basically was a signal to the other priests, this guy is a...
Fair game?
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
It is something.
The abuse scarred every diocese. The cover-up was sophisticated. And all the while, church leadership kept records of the abuse and the cover-up.
You just wonder where else, how many other times, how many people have kept quiet. It's not just Boston and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
No, I mean, the question really is, how do you move past it? How do you get over this?
Well, if anyone out there has ever been caught up in any this kind of stuff or knows of someone who has, we'd love to hear from you. We'll be taking your phone calls later on. But just a frightening story. And as I said, most of the priests will not be prosecuted. Almost 98%, 99% right. of them. Hey, coming up next, Joe, we have all the Omarosa news, and we have Sarah Sanders. Her comment is quite telling. That's coming up next after the news. It's 7 o'clock.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Good morning, everyone, on a sunny and hot Wednesday, August the 15th. A heat alert going until tomorrow night. We've got Michael Riedel off. Picked a good week to go and enjoy a seaside resort like in the Greek Isles or somewhere. And we got Joe Bartlett here. You and I are holding down the fort.
Yeah, well, I get New Jersey. He gets Mykonos.
Yeah. And we've got Blaine filling in for Natalie, who's enjoying some great European climate as well. And we're here.
That's happy it. To be here, Len. This is are. A great week to be doing news.
We're here to talk
we
about...
We have Omarosa.
There's a lot of corruption went on both in the campaign and in the White House. And I'm going to blow the whistle on all of it.
He's blowing the lid off this thing, Bartlett. I'm telling you.
Okay, look. Her time is up. No, time's up.
Just getting started, folks.
Her
just
time is up.
Just getting started. Our big three stories this morning, we talked about it a few moments ago, that shocking grand jury report out of Pennsylvania. At least 300 priests sexually abused, 1,000 victims. They say they may have abused more. And almost all will not be charged, none of the priests, because the statute of limitations has run out. They can charge maybe a couple of them. Also in the big three, the Trump campaign is filing arbitration. They say Omarosa violated her non-disclosure agreement. We'll just have to discuss those NDAs because I'm not sure that's standard practice. The press secretary cannot guarantee that a Trump tape with the N-word does not exist.
Well, I can't guarantee that you are not on tape somewhere saying that.
Well, yeah, but you signed a non-disclosure agreement, so you can't talk about it.
But I can't guarantee it.
No, you can't, but I can guarantee it. And rounding out the big...
Well, so can Trump. He said he didn't do it. Well, it's not in my vocabulary is what he said.
Issue closed. And rounding out the big three in Great Neck, how about this lady invites a guest in for dessert and then thinks the there's evil in the house and stabs the woman to death?
Oy.
Crazy story. Coming up in about 22 minutes, we've got Mets tickets. Michael Riedel's personal seats will be giving away. And then at 8:30, we have the Turning Point Contest. The Mets lost last night in Baltimore 6-3, despite the fact that Jason Vargas pitched relatively well for the Mets. They will try again tonight in Baltimore with Zach Wheeler on the mound. And coverage here on WOR begins at 6:05. So you're not a big fan of her, huh?
Did Donald Trump know about those emails before they came out?
Absolutely.
He knew about them?
Yes.
He knew what was coming out before WikiLeaks released them?
Aha! Collusion. He knew all about it.
Look, you know, this is as credible as if we asked Blaine what was going on at iHeart.
Hey, Blaine, what's going on at iHeart?
I have no idea.
But you know what? Make it up and we'll believe you.
Oh, boy.
Come on now. You think she was in the inner circle?
How worried are folks in the White House, staffers, about this investigation, the Mueller investigation?
They should be very worried.
Are they worried?
Absolutely.
What are they worried about?
Because they have been hiding things from the American people and being very dishonest.
There you go, hiding things from the American people and being dishonest. This is an interview with MSNBC. And, of course, I think it is valid to ask the question, well, where were all these comments all the time she was in the
White
House?
Very good.
Praising
fair.
The president.
Yeah.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah, it is fair.
That's fair. Well, she's written a book, and now the truth comes out, Joe.
Well, I don't know about the truth coming out, Len.
You did say to Chris Matthews that you have more tapes that Robert Mueller could be interested in. He might want to call you again. What sort of tapes would he be interested in?
You know, if he calls me, I certainly will participate with anything that he needs. I'll provide him with what he needs, but that's the extent that I can talk about.
Do you think Donald Trump actually ran any policy decision past Omarosa?
No.
Okay.
Do
you think she was in any high-level discussions about White House strategy? No.
No.
She was wandering the halls looking for something to do.
Well, what do you make of the president tweeting that taking her out, wacky, and then called her a dog?
He probably should.
Nothing?
He should not have said that. That's
really...
Yeah.
Well, our friend Jonathan Carl, who is scheduled, I have a feeling, I'm not sure he's going to make it, but because he's in demand on television all the time at ABC. So. He's been filling in on Sundays. But right now we have him tentatively scheduled for after the news at 8 o'clock. But he had the first question at the news conference about the dog issue.
Is this any way for a president to talk about any American, let alone somebody that he hired and made the highest ranking African-American woman that served in his White House?
I think the president is certainly voicing his frustration with the fact that this person has shown a complete lack of integrity.
But why did he hire her? I mean, why did he hire somebody he's describing as a dog, as a lowlife?
The president wanted to give her a chance.
He only hires the best people, Joe. I just want you to know that.
Well, that's an interesting point today, given his track record here with Omarosa,
look at all
Cohen,
the people. Look at the
Manafort.
Just keep going.
Gates.
Yeah, keep going. You got more? You got Scott Pruitt at the EPA.
Well, look at him. You know, these are not swamp people. They're not used to running government. And there's a certain government attitude that exists, you know, within the so-called deep state. Or the permanent government, and these are people from the outside.
Well, and the big thing at the news conference was Kristen Welker, NBC News, and the question.
Oh my!
Well, listen to this give and take.
I can't guarantee anything, but I can tell you that the president addressed this question directly. I can tell you that I've never.
Right, this is Kristen asked. Can you guarantee that there's no tape? That's going to surface with the N-word on it.
Never heard it. I can also tell you that if myself or the people that are in this building serving this country every single day, doing our very best to help people all across this country and make it better, if at any point we felt that the president was who some of his critics claim him to be, we certainly wouldn't be here.
All right,
okay,
well.
So now that's a good point, Len. I think really this is getting insane right now. It's been crazy. Now it's insane. I think we need to focus on the larger policy issues. We're focusing on nothing but Donald Trump's personality traits. And trust me, they're not good. Everybody knows that.
Well, you see the poll that came out. But then Kristen Welker continued to press the issue.
Of course.
Just to be clear, you can't guarantee it.
Look, I haven't been in every single room. I can tell you the president has addressed this directly. He's addressed it directly to the American people. And I can tell you what the focus and the heart of the president is. And that's on helping all Americans.
Now, what do you think of these non-disclosure agreements? Because I've heard a lot of talk about this. They're going to go to arbitration, the White House, saying that Omarosa signed a non-disclosure agreement. Sarah Sanders said this is common practice. I've been hearing from commentators who say it's not common practice. Only common practice when it deals with top secret information or, you know, information you can't divulge, but not just commonplace. We're talking about, you know, sensitive classified information. That's where the non-disclosure agreements are, not just any employee, because they say that's government work and that should be made public and that should be transparent.
Well, maybe so. I don't know.
Maybe so. Dan in Dutchess County, you had some thoughts about Omarosa?
How you doing? It seems to me like, you know, he had some sense of loyalty. You know, she helped him on the campaign. She was his best buddy, his best ally, talked great about him. Gave her a shot, didn't work out. Again, she turns around and talks trash about him for how long? Everybody talks trash about the guy every single day. And how much could a guy take?
So you think this is basically a disgruntled employee?
I think it is. I mean, look, the guy, it seems like, it's almost like a tactic. If they keep the news cycle just away from the good news, away from the economy, away from the jobs, away from this, away from Korea, away from all this stuff, and they focus on nothing but petty stuff, that seems to be their strategy. The news media and the left, I'd have to go with that, you know?
The headline today is the White House cannot guarantee Trump has not used the N-word. Well, the White House doesn't know every word that Donald Trump has uttered, so there's no way they could guarantee he never used it. It's a false headline. It's a false headline.
You saw this dust up with magician Penn Jillette in the Post?
Mm-hmm.
He said he heard President Trump make racially insensitive comments during tapings of the Celebrity Apprentice. Now, I don't know. He doesn't say the N-word. He just says he would say racially insensitive things that made me uncomfortable. This, you know, you've heard of Penn and Teller.
Penn Jillette. I watched The Apprentice.
Okay.
Not that, you know, you obviously don't see everything that goes on behind the cameras, but, you know, I've seen this.
So here's a quote. So this is, you know, maybe this is fair. I don't think he ever said anything in that room like African Americans are inferior or anything about rape or grabbing women. But of those 2 hours, every other day in a room with him, every 10 minutes was fingernails on the chalkboard. All right.
Well, he's not an easy guy to get along
and
with.
He wasn't president of the United States. So that's
true. All right. Come on, look at all this horse bleep that Omarosa is throwing out here. Now she claims that Trump knew about the Clinton emails.
Correct. Knew about before.
Well, would she know that?
Did Donald Trump know about those emails before they came out?
Absolutely.
He knew about them.
Yes.
He knew what was coming out before WikiLeaks released them.
Well, she knew.
Back it up.
She knew. So maybe there was.
You're just taking
there,
her faith. Oh, yeah. Anything she says.
How about this one?
I saw in your book, for instance, where he grabbed you and he kissed you without you welcoming that. He did that very often with women. Anytime he wanted. He's very physical. He would grab women, kiss them unsolicited, anytime, any day.
And you know, they let you grab them. No, stop. All right. So that's Omarosa.
You happy with that?
I don't know what I am.
You change anybody's mind?
Not one.
No?
Nobody's mind is changed.
And have you influenced public policy yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
Coming up next, we have your Mets tickets, and we're going to go live to the Paul Manafort trial. You know, it's heading to the jury? Could be today. But first, let's see what traffic's doing with Bernie Viner. At 7:23, we've got your Mets tickets. Don't call yet. In about 5 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win Michael's personal seats. See the Mets and Marlins September 10th. Joe Bartlett in for Michael Riedel in that the Paul Manafort trial, fascinating in the sense that, and we're going to be going live to Arlington, Virginia, and we'll be speaking with Trish Turner of ABC News in just a moment. But no defense. The prosecution presented, the government presented the entire case. Prosecution didn't call a witness, didn't put Manafort on the stand, nothing, just no defense. We rest.
I don't know that the prosecution case was that weak. There's pretty obvious funny business going on there. I guess they're banking on the fact that Gates, who was the star prosecution witness, will be deemed not credible.
Well, he's being deemed a liar.
Yeah, right.
So I guess if you rest the case, it's one of two things, that the government has no case or you've got no case.
Well, I don't know what the defense would be. Yeah, there is no defense at the moment. Yeah. But the question is, I mean, this is the first case Mueller's bringing as part of the Russia investigation.
Yeah. Well, it came about, it arose because of the Mueller investigation. This is not part of Russia.
This is the best he gets. So this is the way he wants to.
I'm not saying
this is the way he wants to begin.
Oh, really?
This is the way he wants to begin.
So you're saying this is the best that what he's got.
Well, I don't know. Wouldn't you try and go out with your best shot first?
I don't know what his strategy is.
Yeah, and he's
not
talking.
He's
got one strategy.
And he's not leaking.
He's got no case against Trump.
So you're going to be one of those. You're going to be one of those Trumpers who says there's no case, there's no collusion, no proof.
Where's the case?
Well, he'll present it, Joe. You have to relax. Can you tell me this is National Relaxation Day?
Yes, it is.
Yes. So you're going to have
to
relax.
I'm so hyped up today. It must be you.
You just have to. Just relax. Take your time. Let Mueller present his case.
All right. Fine.
And let's go to Trish Turner, ABC News in Virginia. And Trish, we were just mulling it over here, mullering it over here, and we're trying to decide if the defense didn't have a case, or the prosecution didn't have a case, and that's why the defense didn't offer a defense. What do you think?
Well, I love a bad morning pun.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. My apologies.
But yeah, I think it's fair to say that the defense, they seem to indicate to us that they thought, you know, obviously they say this, it's a strategy, that they think the government didn't prove their case. I think what they're saying is they thought Rick Gates, Paul Manafort's former protege, that he was an incredibly flawed witness. Of course, that's the truth. This is what the government does when they put on a witness who's been cooperating, who's committed a lot of crime himself. But they think that went to impeach the character of Rick Gates, tear down the government's star witness. And so now they can come in and try to attack this from, you know, Paul Manafort was a businessman. There were lots of other people around him, and maybe the business had troubles, but with the law, but not our client.
Now, Tricia, in terms of the closing arguments, which are going to happen today, and I understand the judge is limiting them, but this is the defense's opportunity to kind of put a wrap on this case. They didn't have any testimony or witnesses to present, obviously. So they're going to try and sum it up. And you think their summation is going to be just business deals?
That's exactly right. I think that they are going to once again tear into Rick Gates, and then they have to tell us, I think, according to experts we've talked to, they have to tell us why the jury should disregard the fact that, you know, that Manafort appeared to sign a lot of legal documents that said he realized he'd be breaking the law if he lied to banks. But I think their whole strategy rests on this idea that here is a talented businessman wrapped up in business deals while he left the bookkeeping and the tax accounting to his underlings. And they're the ones who ended up breaking the law. You know, that in fact, nothing to see here. And maybe the business should have reported these offshore accounts, but not him. He didn't own more than 50% of the business for most of the time.
Hey, Trish, we're on with Trish Turner, ABC News, at the Manafort trial in Virginia. Before you run, do you think the jury gets it today?
I think there's a scenario where they do this. The wild card, of course, is the judge, who's been sort of unpredictable all along, but he likes his breaks. I could see if we get to near the end of the day, he might let the jury go and say, let's begin with a fresh set of eyes and ears in the morning. You'll get the case then. But they could get it. If they get it, I think it's going to be, you know, 4 o'clock later in the day. I don't think it's going to be early.
Have a hunch we'll be speaking later this week. Thanks, Trish. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
I'll try to come up with some more bad puns for her later.
You know, what's going to be interesting is the judge's charge, because he was very harsh on the prosecution case, saying, hey, come on, get to the case here.
All right, play ball.
All righty, your chance to win a pair of Michael's personal tickets to see the Mets. You can go to the game where they take on the Marlins September 10th at Citi Field. Be caller number 14. No, I don't want to do 14. Do 15. I did 14 yesterday. 15. Caller number 15 at 1-800-321-0710. You'll be the winner. And to purchase tickets, go to Mets.com/tickets. Caller 15.
All right. Good luck with that. Time for the latest news headlines. And for that, we have Mike Bauer. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, Len. Morning, Joe. A stunning report from the Pennsylvania Attorney General. More than 300 Catholic priests are accused of sexually abusing more than 1,000 children for decades. And Attorney General Josh Shapiro says the abuse likely runs deeper than that.
We feel certain that many victims never came forward and that the diocese did not create written records every single time they heard something about abuse, the grand jurors wrote.
Shapiro says the church tried to prevent the release of the report, saying they tried to cover up the cover-up. NYC Transit President Andy Byford is pushing for a pilot program that could have subway conductors equipped with body cameras. This after a viral video showing two suspects assaulting a conductor in Brooklyn over the weekend.
It was disgusting. It was appalling. We are not going to tolerate this depressing tsunami of assaults on our staff.
Wow, tsunami of assaults.
Yeah, somebody's been watching a little UFC action, I'm guessing.
It's a little overboard, don't you think?
I didn't know there were that many assaults. Jeez, on
a tsunami?
Please. Well, this one was
a typhoon of terror.
They got to get these creeps. I mean, this one was terrible.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Now, so what do you think about the body cams? Is that going to be an answer?
I don't know. Is it that prevalent?
No, I wouldn't.
Are you going to spend all that money? I don't know.
Now, let me highlight just one possibility of a drawback from the body cam. An Arizona police commander has been fired after using his body cam to film himself having sex.
No, yeah. Stop.
Pinal County Superior Police Commander Stop. Anthony Doran. Again, this is, listen to that
selfie
title.
Selfie sex, sure, why not?
County Superior Police Commander Anthony Doran used his office computer to store that video and other pornography. A police secretary stumbled upon the videos while using his computer for official business. The report says Doran is seen in a uniform shirt with the police insignia, but no pants or underwear. And it says that Anthony is sitting in an office chair and straddling him is a naked female adult. Now, he made the offer of serving a one-week suspension, but after the file with all the porn was found...
That was very generous of him.
Yeah, right.
1 week, sure. That'd give him just enough time to go out and get a new camera, clean things up a little bit. But instead, he was fired. So after all of that porn was found on his computer...
What an idiot. Oh, I've got a camera. Oh, I could put it to good use. Body cam. That's not what you're supposed to use a body cam for.
Right? No, I would say that's not the primary usage. Now we're learning it's not even the secondary usage of that, guys, for sure.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Coming up, what a time in politics. We had some primaries yesterday around the country, including Connecticut. We have some winners who you've never seen before. Fascinating stuff. Let me ask you something. How well did you sleep last night? Well, maybe it's time for a new mattress. And our friends at PC Richard & Son can certainly help. The question you have to ask is, why would anyone want to buy a mattress online? Don't you want to see it and feel it? Jump up and down on it? Try it out? Well, that's why PC Richard & Son has beautiful mattress galleries in every store. You go in there, you meet with a mattress expert that you can trust. PC Richard & Son has the top-selling brands that others don't have. Sealy, Tempur-Pedic, Stearns & Foster, Posturepedic, and more, and all at the guaranteed lowest prices. In fact, right now, you can get employee pricing on select Sealy mattresses. That means you pay what PC Richard & Son employees pay, not a penny more on select Sealy mattresses and Catnapper recliners as well. Plus, get free next day delivery. They'll deliver your new mattress, set it up, haul away the old one. So buy today and enjoy tomorrow. Mattress stores come and go. PC Richard & Son is here to stay. For a limited time, get employee pricing on select Sealy mattresses. Remember, for a good night's sleep, all you have to do is whistle. And for traffic, all you have to do is check in with Bernie Viter. Well, 7:39, we have our first winner for Mets tickets this morning, Joe.
Yes, congratulations to Rocky Falsetta from Lindenhurst, New York. He wins Michael's personal tickets to see the Mets take on the Marlins September the 10th at Citi Field. And we'll have another chance for you to win some Mets tickets at 8:30 if you know the turning point.
Hey, we like young winners, a 22-year-old Mets fan listening to our show, and he's our winner of tickets. Yeah, we do have the turning point coming up at 8:30. So, you had some primaries yesterday, and Connecticut is in our listening area, so we can't ignore the fact that they did come up with candidates to replace Daniel Malloy. And
nobody likes Daniel Malloy anymore.
Is he? Did he term out, or what happened?
Yes, he termed out.
Okay, so
he wasn't going to get reelected anyway.
Okay, so you got on the Democratic side, Ned Lamont. Apparently, a couple of businessmen won up there.
Yeah, Ned Lamont, I mean, he's been running for quite a while, but he now has a Democratic nomination. He beat Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim.
Hmm.
This is a guy who was charged with corruption in 2003, trying to make a political comeback.
The guy who, so he lost, the guy charged with corruption.
Well, his former Bridgeport Mayor, Joe Ganim.
That doesn't make a good story. You want the guy with the corruption to win.
Well, now we have a former GE executive, Bob Stefanowski, who will be the Republican nominee.
Former GE executive?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And ruined, course, my stock?
Well, and Connecticut ruined GE. They chased him out.
They did. Well, here's Stefanowski. He's going to be the Republican nominee for governor.
Our great state simply cannot afford a continuation of Dan Malloy's horrible economic policy with Ned Lamont.
No way! I think he's got a good shot.
So you do. So he's attacking the old governor. The old governor chased GE out of town, out of Fairfield, right?
Yeah. The problem is, I mean, they got fiscal problems in Connecticut. He's raised taxes, and you know, he's not been friendly to business. So let's see
what Ned Lamont has to say for himself. Okay, equal time.
We get to party a little bit responsibly. Oh, and tomorrow it starts again. Tomorrow it starts again because we're on our way. We're on our way to November. We're going to win, and we're going to go all the way and turn this state around.
Yeehaw! I mean, what is with the Democrats and his hee-haw stuff?
I think they like that stuff, don't you think?
Yeehaw!
We're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. We're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House!
Yeah!
So you think this guy sounds like him here?
We get to party a little bit, responsibly. And tomorrow it starts again. Tomorrow it starts again because we're on our way. We're on our way to November. We're going to win, and we're going to go all the way and turn the state around.
Coming all the way.
Do you have the sound of another Democrat who probably is not going to sound like that? The winner of the primary for governor of Vermont?
Well, this is fascinating.
Yes, it is.
You are fascinated by this because you can't stop talking about it. I'm going to give you up behind the scenes. her name, Christine Hallquist.
Now, Christine, if you happen to see a picture of Christine, looks like a guy with a wig on.
Well, he does. She does. Well, but she has you're making light of the transgender community. I don't think that's right,
I'm not making light of it.
Yes,
that's just what she looks like.
You're saying she looks like a guy with a wig.
I said she looks like a guy with a wig.
Well, she is the nominee for governor.
I'd like to hear her, Lynn.
See, I think you're being awful. I think you're going to get phone calls, emails. I can't believe you're taking on transgenders like that. That's not nice. But anyway, she's the first ever transgender winner of a major contest. And here she is.
Oh, not at all. In fact, that doesn't even necessarily occur to me.
Asked if she ran because of being a transgender. Uh-huh. That's the reason she ran.
Or probably occurred to many Vermonters. The reason I'm in here is because of what happened in 2016. You know, in the world of physics, we say for every action, there's an opposite and opposing reaction. Well, I'm definitely a reaction to 2016.
Okay. She's not a real Trump fan, so.
Yeah, well, good luck.
I mean, so you think she doesn't sound feminine? Is that what you're going to tell us now?
It doesn't matter what she sounds like.
We thank CNN for that soundbite of Christine Hultquist, the first transgender to win a major.
She'll go up against the Republican governor, Phil Scott.
She's not going to win, huh?
I don't know. Hey, anything can happen in Vermont. That's kind of a wacky state.
Well, they got Bernie Sanders there.
So yeah, exactly.
Anything could happen. So you said there was some other interesting
there was there was in Minnesota. We have the first Somali candidate for Congress.
Wow.
This is because Keith Ellison, a former Democratic Party official, has gotten the nomination for Minnesota Attorney General.
But he's Muslim, right, Ellison?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other thing, too, is he is also facing charges of domestic abuse.
That's correct.
Abuse.
Which he denies.
He denies. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll give him his day in court.
Okay.
And so the Somali, and I don't have the Somali person's name here, but the issue, the bottom line with the results from the primary, Democrats are going with diversity.
Right.
Republicans are going with...
Good old boys?
Candidates who support Trump.
Okay. It's good old boys.
Well, speaking, I don't know about the good old boys. But.
Speaking of Mr. Trump, did you see this latest Quinnipiac poll?
Yes.
What percentage of the poll dislike him personally, Trump?
A big number, I'm sure.
59. Is that 59? Big?
Well, I would have thought it would be more.
Really?
I don't like him, personally.
But you defend him at every turn.
I understand that. But I judge him not on his personality. And it took me a while because it really did bug me. His personality, his tweets, and all the little quirky things. He acts like an eighth grader sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, it, you know, it's certainly not presidential.
Giving him a lot of credit there. No, but I have.
I decided at some point, judge him on policy, not personality. Because you know what? A lot of great people have had personality quirks and traits and were weird. Yeah, but judge them on their accomplishments.
Name one.
Ben Franklin.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was a weirdo. If you ever saw a weirdo, I mean, flying a kite. What's wrong with that guy? Guy's nuts. How do you know Ben Franklin was quirky?
They were all quirky.
Well, here's the thing. I have very close friends who are Trump supporters, and that's their latest line.
Exactly.
He's despicable. He's a terrible human being, but we like what he's doing for America, and we like his policies, and we like our corporate tax cuts. Hello.
Here's what he's done. Because we're discussing Omarosa, whether or not he said the N-word, the dog comment, nobody is discussing, the other side is not discussing what he's doing in terms of policy and the changes that he's made. You're not challenging him on that.
Right.
You're challenging on him on unimportant material.
Listen to this stat from the same poll. Voters said that by 54% to 37%, that President Trump has emboldened people who hold racist beliefs to express those beliefs publicly.
He is embraced, sadly, by that side, yes.
He is?
Yes.
Well, with Charlottesville, are good people on both sides, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Let's see. And despite his concerns about fake news, I'm heartened. 65% of the American voters said the media is an important part of U.S. democracy, compared with 26% who agreed with Trump's assessment that the media is the enemy of the people.
See, most people, like I said, don't pay so much attention to what he says. Pay attention
what
to
he
what
does.
He does. What he does.
Nothing to see
what
here.
He does.
All right. When we return, we've got some entertainment news. We have the latest on Aretha Franklin. We have Liev Schreiber. And you know her, you love her, you can't live without her. We got some Stormy Daniels news for you.
I want to tell you about the iHeartRadio weekly mixtape, Len. Every week we create a personal mixtape just for you. It's based on the music that you love, or the music that you thumb up and that you listen to the most. So you look for your fresh mixtape every Monday. We put it together every Monday, put it on the iHeartRadio app. That's where you'll find yours. Just open it up. It's all free. Your favorite music, your favorite radio stations, all free.
And right now we got some free traffic news for you. Let's go to Bernie Viter. 7:54 alongside Joe Bartlett as Michael Riedel enjoys a little time off. And it's, you know, death watches are just so awful. Yeah, you know, you get word that Aretha Franklin's not doing well, and then they say she's in hospice. So you're just kind of waiting for the final shoe to drop. But she's still with us. But the word came down that Stevie Wonder was one of those who went to visit her. So we looked through the archives, you know, because I wondered if Stevie Wonder and Aretha ever did a duet together.
Did they?
And they did. A song was called "Until You Come Back to Me."
Well, I'm gonna rap on your door, tap on your window,
tap on your window pane.
You've heard this, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Why did you have to decide?
Couple of great, great talents.
Wonderful voice. Both of,
Franklin,
both of them.
Yeah. Stevie Wonder and this duet together.
Until you come back to me, that's what I'm gonna do.
Yes, I.
Anyway, so Aretha Franklin, surrounded by family and friends like Stevie Wonder, she is undergoing hospice care at home in Detroit.
And even though Riedel is not here, I have some Broadway news for you. Actually, it comes from Cindy Adams, but I'm very intrigued by this. This is an off-Broadway play that is coming. It's called The True. The True is the name of it.
Yeah.
It's a real-life love triangle story, and it goes back 50 years involving a woman named Polly Noonan. Polly Noonan probably doesn't mean anything to you.
No,
but
it doesn't.
If you grew up in Albany, Polly Noonan was the mistress of Albany's longtime mayor and Democratic boss, Erastus Corning. Corning was the mayor there for over 40 years. I mean, he wielded power. Everything that got done in Albany County and in large part in New York State and legislature had to go through Corning. But he had a mistress, and everybody knew he had a mistress.
Yeah.
And she would accompany him to political events. You would see her sitting
really?
Right there next to him. And
was
she,
the wife there too?
No, his wife stayed home.
Okay.
She stayed at their nice little home. And but Polly was his, they always called her confidant, but we knew what was going on. Everybody knew what was going on.
Huh.
And
this is going to be a Broadway show?
It's going to called, The True. And by the way, Polly Noonan and Edie Falco will play Polly.
Oh, she's great.
And Polly was a power broker. And the story goes that it was really Polly Noonan that was running things, his mistress. And Polly Noonan just happens to be the grandmother of New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So you go back, Erastus Corning's a great story, and I've dealt with him when I was up in Albany. He was a character.
Well, it's a good thing Riedel isn't here, because he'd know nothing about this. So we've been talking about this Liev Schreiber case. He's been charged by a photographer. His name is Sherwood Martinelli. This was up in Nyack, and I guess he popped off a flash cube, or they don't call them flash cubes anymore, but popped a flash right in his face, and Schreiber took offense and pushed him away. They were shooting Ray Donovan. Here's the photographer, Sherwood Martinelli.
He did hit my right shoulder. He did hit my left hand and camera hard enough to break my camera.
Hmm.
You know what? I got no sympathy for these paparazzi guys.
Here's Schreiber.
Say I never touched him, and I never touched his camera. I never. What's that?
He did touch him.
No, I never touched his body with my body.
Wow, so they're out there together.
That's crazy.
I did touch him. Is that crazy? Schreiber should have held off and belted him.
I bet you he wanted to. Look, those guys are just annoying. Absolutely annoying. And if you're trying to go about your business, I know you're a big star and you have to accept some of this, but they can really get in your face.
I mentioned Stormy Daniels. She is going to appear in the UK reality show Celebrity Big Brother. How about that?
She's great.
And you know who else appeared in that?
Omarosa.
Omarosa.
Oh, yeah, I saw a clip of that. Oh, it's so bad in the White House. Oh, it's so bad.
Omarosa, after she was fired from the White House, appeared on Celebrity Big Brother. You know what she said on that show?
Oh, it's so bad.
I'm thinking of writing a tell-all sometime. Trump's going to come after me with everything he has, like I'm going up against a gazillionaire, so I'll probably end up in court. But I have to tell my truth. I'm tired of being muted. That's what she said on, well, I wonder what Stormy Daniels will say. Oh, you wanted to talk about Kimberly Guilfoyle.
Oh, yeah, and speaking of Trump, Kimberly Guilfoyle, the former Fox News babe.
That's what she was, a Fox News babe?
I call her. Anyway, she obviously is, as you should know, or may not know,
right,
dating Donald Trump Jr.
Oh, everyone knows that.
And according to Page Six, they have some cutie pet names for each other.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Are you ready?
Any one of the seven dwarfs. No, go ahead. I'm kidding. It's a joke.
Kimberly calls Donald Jr. Junior Mint. Junior Mint.
Really?
Obviously, I guess for his money, right?
Good Lord.
And what does Don Jr. call Kimberly?
Babe? Fox News babe?
No. Pooh Bear. Oh, you're my Pooh Bear.
Did I need to know this?
Yes.
Junior Mint and Pooh Bear.
Junior Mint and Pooh Bear.
I'm glad it's time for the news. Hey, coming up, we have ABC's outstanding White House correspondent, John Carl. He had the first questions for Sarah Sanders yesterday. We will speak with John Carl live right now. It's 8 o'clock.
Our iHeartRadio Music Festival now. Text the keyword FUN to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. Text FUN to 200-200. This is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
Good morning, everyone, at 8:05 on a Wednesday, August the 15th, 2018. Heat advisory in effect till tomorrow at 6. Joe Bartlett sitting in for the vacationing Michael Riedel. You're getting some tweets and emails here, Joe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Tell me about them.
You seem a little... You sure you want to hear him? Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Okay. Christopher tweeted us, at Len Michael WOR. He says, let Joe Bartlett know I think he's awesome.
Oh, there we go.
How about that? Good. And John sent me an email. You can email us directly at our website, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. He said, John emailed me, I agree with Joe 100% that the media's obsession with Trump's personality is very disappointing and the news needs to focus on his policies. I couldn't care less about what this Omarosa person thinks. However, I think his policies are actually worse than his personality. And if it was reported more,
well,
people would understand how bad Trump really is.
And if that's the case, and if you believe that, and you're a member of the Democratic Party, you're going down the wrong track. If you really want to oppose his policies. But how can you oppose the lowest unemployment in 50 years? How can you be opposed to tax cuts? How can you be opposed to better trade deals with our foreign partners?
How
can you be opposed to that?
Some of those, we still haven't seen the final.
Len, it's not even 2 years yet.
I know, but let's see what transpires.
But all we care about is whether he said...
Don't go up and down with your pom-poms over the trade deals, because right now it's a trade war with tariffs.
But at least he's doing something about it.
And the tax cuts, I don't know if the trickle-down is working, but we'll see. Let's give it some time.
It's going to work.
We hope to be joined by John Carl, a terrific ABC News White House correspondent. He's very much in demand today by all the media, especially at ABC News.
He
had the first question
to
Sarah Sanders, and that was at the news conference yesterday.
Is this any way for a president to talk about any American, let alone somebody that he hired and made the highest ranking African-American woman that served in his White House?
I think the president is certainly voicing his frustration with the fact that this person has shown a complete lack of integrity.
But why did he hire her? I mean, why did he hire somebody he's describing as a dog, as a low-life?
The president wanted to give her a chance.
Well, you think that's grandstanding on the part of the reporters, right?
It's a little more, it's accusatory. It is a little grandstanding, yes.
Well, will you ask him that if he joins us in a few minutes?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to hold you to that.
Okay, I will.
Our big three stories this morning, we have that shocking report out of Pennsylvania. 300 priests sexually abused 1,000 victims. There may be more. Almost all will skate as the statute of limitations has run out in Pennsylvania. I think they can prosecute a couple of them. That's it, out of 300. Also in the big three, the Trump campaign is filing arbitration. They're saying that Omarosa violated her non-disclosure agreement, as the press secretary cannot guarantee that a Trump tape with the N-word does not exist. I'll play that sound for you in just a second. Shocking. And rounding out the big three in Great Neck, I thought this was shocking, the 66-year-old woman invites a guest in for dessert at her house and then thinks that there's evil in the house and stabs the guest to death.
Now, that is shocking.
That and Great Neck, that's absolutely it's
insane.
Shocking. Yeah. We have some Mets tickets coming your way. We have the Turning Point contest at 8:30. But I guess the statement or the comment that's getting the most is that Christian Welker of NBC News got up there.
No, the grandstanding reporter in the White House.
Yeah, sure. And the question was, can Sarah Huckabee Sanders guarantee that a tape will not surface with the president uttering the N-word before or after he became president?
I can't guarantee anything, but I can tell you that the president addressed this question directly. I can tell you that I've never heard it. I can also tell you that if myself or the people that are in this building serving this country every single day, doing our very best to help people all across this country and make it better, if at any point we felt that the president was who some of his critics claim him to be, we certainly wouldn't be here.
There you go. That's a very good answer. She's an excellent press secretary.
But there was a follow-up.
Just to be clear, you can't guarantee it.
I haven't been in every single room. I can tell you the president has addressed this directly. He's addressed it directly to the American people. And I can tell you what the focus and the heart of the president is. And that's on helping all Americans.
Don't you think it's a silly question?
I just was surprised because
they're asking her whether she knows whether or not the president ever uttered that word.
Well, but
is she present for everything he's said?
Well, but
is she in a position to make that answer?
What I'm saying is that Sarah Huckabee Sanders has gone out of her way to 100% defend the president at all turns, and it just was surprising to a lot of people that she dodged on that one rather than saying, I'm convinced that there's no tape, and I'm positive, and the president says there's no tape, and I believe what he says. She could have said it that way. She didn't, which is fascinating.
Well, I mean, the question wasn't about whether there was a tape or not, whether he ever used the N-word, and that's a you can't answer that with any credibility. I mean, she could easily said, I've never heard it.
Yeah. Well, I think she was asked if the tape will surface. Is she sure that it won't? And, not sure. Well, this is Omarosa. Obviously, this is all about her and that the fact that the president then called her a dog. But she was on with MSNBC yesterday, and she said that the president, well, this was her claim.
Did Donald Trump know about those emails before they came out?
Absolutely.
He knew about them.
Yes.
He knew what was coming out before WikiLeaks released them.
All right, so we got drip drab, but right now we have the great ABC News White House correspondent Jonathan Carl, who asked this question, the very first question yesterday, to Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Is this any way for a president to talk about any American, let alone somebody that he hired and made the highest ranking African-American woman that served in his White House?
I think the president is certainly voicing his frustration with the fact that this person has shown a complete lack of integrity.
But why did he hire her? I mean, why did he hire somebody he's describing as a dog, as a low-life?
The president wanted to give her a chance.
Good question, John Carl. Were you satisfied with the answer?
Well, you're never fully satisfied in that room, are you? But, I mean, you know, to me, there are tremendous credibility problems with Omarosa, but the reason why the story is a legitimate story and why it is worth listening to what she has to say is because this was somebody that the president had put in such a prominent position. And not just, I mean, she was at the higher echelon of White House staff in terms of pay, $155,000 a year. She was one of the most senior people in the West Wing. You could say she didn't really do anything, but he hired her and put her in this position. And you saw what happened when I tried to ask Kellyanne Conway, now that she's gone, who is the most high level
Sunday,
African American in the West Wing, and she couldn't really give me an answer because there really isn't buddy at that level anymore. So, you know, but you played that at the beginning, the allegation about Mueller and the allegation that Trump knew about the WikiLeaks emails and all that. So I got to ask you. I mean, that's a pretty big one, right? I mean,
I would think so.
Yeah. What, she didn't even put it in her book. It's not in her book.
I mean, what did she
suddenly remember this after she wrote the book?
Yeah, she's remembering a lot of stuff after she wrote the book.
You can't believe anything she said. Hey, John, I have to ask you now, and I brought this up with Len when he kept playing your question. Look, you're a great reporter, tenacious. I think what kind of bothers me these days is this new phenomenon where the reporters need to get their camera time asking these questions. And as a result, the questions have been not simply a question, but more accusatory and more combative than I've seen in the past, and especially with Trump. Now, I understand you guys are frustrated with some of the answers and some of the topics that you have to delve into, but what's going on?
Why? He thinks you're grandstanding, John.
It's a fair criticism. But before you say that this is about Trump, I would just encourage you to actually.
No, I know you did it with Obama. I know you did it with Obama. I know you did. But it seems like every day we have these episodes. It used to be once in a while you'd have the confrontation over an Obama issue. But it's every day. And it wasn't you. It was Kristen Welker at NBC.
Well, in July, we only had, I think it was either three or four White House press briefings, so it's definitely not every day. One of the issues here is the press briefings have become fewer and far between, and you have fewer opportunities to put these questions to the White House. It raises the temperature. Sarah Sanders' briefings are also incredibly short. You've got to get your thing in there, and before she quickly moves on, you have to try to fight to get a follow-up. There's no doubt there's a tense setting in there, but I take your point. What I try to do is ask the question. It can be asked in a very pointed way, but I'm trying to actually get an answer. Why did the president hire this person? How could he call her these things? What is now? I'm not going to defend everything that's said in that room, and I have seen some of my colleagues very clearly using the opportunity to ask a question as an opportunity to get on a soapbox and express opinion and to argue, have an argument with the press secretary, and I don't think that is our role. But our role is to ask sometimes very pointed questions and to follow up in a very pointed way, and if some want to say that's grandstanding, fine. I say it as doing my job. But I don't believe that it is our role to get in there and to get on a soapbox and start expressing our opinions. I think that is a mistake, and I have seen some of my colleagues, who I won't mention here, do that.
Oh, name names. Come on, John.
Right.
Come on.
Fair answer. Fair answer, Jonathan. Thanks,
John. Yep. Appreciate it. Always great talking to you. John Carl, ABC News correspondent from the White House. Thanks, John.
Great talking to you. Take care.
All right. Talk to you soon. I he's terrific. And
I like him a lot.
With the other presidents. Absolutely, yeah. He's not a partisan guy who's out to get this guy.
And I didn't mean to single him out because there are others that are worse.
I wish he'd name names, though. Hey, coming up, we've got the Mets Turning Point Contest plus Cynthia Nixon and why she gave away the store for her debate with Andrew Cuomo. She just folded her tent. But now, Bernie Vider with traffic.
Live from New York City, Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
And in a couple of minutes, we have the Mets Turning Point Contest from yesterday's loss, 6-3 in Baltimore, and chance to win some Mets tickets. That's just in a few minutes. But the Cynthia Nixon, Andrew Cuomo debate issue is kind of fascinating, Joe, because Cuomo has not faced a one-on-one major challenger at least in 10 years. I mean, he just doesn't, he'll do the only debates he's agreed to is when all the lesser candidates are in there, and then he doesn't want to stand for some reason. So, but he did agree to this debate. The fascinating thing is it's, August the 29th? It's right in the middle of the dead week leading up to Labor Day. CBS will carry it. But Cynthia Nixon said she just gave, Cuomo has all the call. You know, he called everything in the debate, all the rules, everything. It's just up to Cuomo. And she gave, what was her quote? Did she do it facing backwards and
well,
and
she agreed
heels?
To do it. As long as he would do the debate, she'll do it under his terms.
All right. Well, here's what she had to say about all this.
Unfortunately, all of the terms of the debate have already been settled. And CBS was very frank with us that they really didn't have a choice, that these were his demands, and if they were not acceded to, he wouldn't show up.
So, there you go. He told CBS, and then...
Well, he's still going to be one to one. He'll probably win this thing, I guess,
Well, the poll's saying he'll win, yeah.
Well, no, in terms of the debate, yeah, I mean, he should be up to date on all of the issues. I mean, he's got his talking points memorized. She's not a polished politician, so I don't think she's ever probably even debated. At least Cuomo's debated.
I am not angry. I think it's unfortunate that, you know, that our campaign was not allowed to weigh in on any of the terms of the debate.
Kind of fascinating that the pettiness of sitting versus standing. Cuomo
she's probably taller than
sitting.
Him. She's probably taller than him. He doesn't want to look small.
A debate is a formal setting. You should stand. Each person should stand at a podium. I was really looking forward to going toe-to-toe with Andrew Cuomo.
And now she'll have to go knee-to-knee. They'll be sitting.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so now you were telling me the Blasio's meeting with Elizabeth Warren. This is a meeting of the minds, huh?
What is going on now?
You tell me.
They had a sit-down, Elizabeth Warren and Mayor de Blasio at City Hall, one-hour meeting, not on his public schedule, according to the New York Post. They kind of snuck her into a side entrance so that the media didn't see her coming in. The question is, what did they talk about? Is Warren going to run for president, asking for de Blasio's support? Is de Blasio telling her, look, I'd like to be a candidate too. Maybe we can join forces. I don't know. But this is the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. And looks like they're, planning strategy.
I'm proud of you. Maybe the first time on the station that a right winger has done an Elizabeth Warren story and didn't call her Pocahontas. So I'm proud of you, Joe. Good job.
Trying to be fair, Lynn.
Now, speaking of de Blasio, he did get that law he wanted. They're going to limit Uber and Lyft.
Great.
And this is now the law of the city.
And every one of you are such a powerful example of what it means when people get together and they organize and they fight for their rights. This victory is yours.
I guess those are, who's cheering? The yellow cab drivers, probably?
I guess so, yeah. And actually, I think Uber drivers.
Well, they're getting a minimum wage out of this.
Right. But I saw this sign at the rally. It said 80,000 cars and 42% are empty at all times.
The Uber cars?
Yeah.
There are
how many times do you see these guys just kind of wandering around aimlessly on the road?
And they don't know where they're going.
Exactly. Yeah.
I see them all the time.
So 80,000 cars? Come on. How many do you want?
All right. It's time for the Mets Jack for the Nuts turning point in the game. Be the first person who can correctly identify the turning point of last night's loss in Baltimore. You'll win a pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Phillies September 7th at Citi Field. Call 800-321-0710. The Turning Point is proudly presented by Chock Full of Nuts, New York's coffee since 1932. To purchase tickets, go to Mets.com/tickets. And for the latest news headlines, filling in for Joe Bartlett, who's filling in for Michael Riedel, is Mike Bauer. Good morning to you, Mike.
Good morning, Len. Morning, Joe. Omarosa continues to make allegations against President Trump in the White House. She tells MSNBC that Trump knew Hillary Clinton's emails would be released before they were made public.
There's a lot of corruption that went on both in the campaign and in the White House, and I'm going to blow the whistle on all of it.
She says that she's already talked with special counsel Robert Mueller and would meet with him again.
Len, you've got to be tired of her, too.
John Carl made a great point, the ABC News White House correspondent. He said this is a big deal if Trump knew about the emails beforehand, and Carl said if it's such a big deal, why didn't she put it in the book?
Yeah, it's a good point.
That's a great point.
And how many of these things are not in the book and then could be in the book?
And how many are true and not true and hearsay?
Oh, you're right. She's all over the map. That's not to say that some of it isn't true. I feel the same way about that dossier, which you love to discredit. I know there's a lot of stuff in there, and some of it's false, but it's not to say that some of it isn't true,
too. You don't know that.
Oh, you don't know it either.
Well, you can't say that, though.
I can say whatever I want. My mic's on.
And he's the first name in the show. You got to go with Len Berman on that one.
Joe.
So,
what else you got, Mike?
The general election in Connecticut is set. Ned Lamont has won the Democratic primary for governor of Connecticut.
We get to party a little bit, responsibly. And tomorrow it starts again. Tomorrow it starts again because we're on our way. We're on our way to November. We're going to win, and we're going to go all the way and turn the state around.
Think there's a little Howard Dean in him?
Come on.
We're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. We're going to California and Texas and New York. We're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House.
There's a little bit of that.
Just a little.
Democrats really get excited.
Democrats. We see we're excitable people. You Republicans are just, you know, IBM, you know, that's blue bloods. Yes. You know.
Now, guys, I'm interested to see if you love this story as much as I do. You remember Jason Kessler, one of the leaders from this past weekend's white supremacist rally in Washington, D.C.?
He's kind of the spokesperson, right?
Yeah. He may be free to lead the hate-filled march, but he can't talk Nazis when he's at home. Kessler was live streaming with another Nazi when his dad interrupted.
The banking houses are in Israel.
Hey, you get out of my room!
Sorry, I'm having an issue here. Oh, you got a drunk roommate there?
Something like that. Push me like that in my room.
What's he saying?
What was his last line? Don't push me like that out of my room.
Oh, a drunken roommate. It's dad who has a head on his shoulders.
He said that he's living with his dad because he's involved in so many lawsuits. He's tried to continue the live stream immediately after that to no avail.
We're at a crosshairs on that stuff. I don't agree with it. I want this to stop in my room, Jason. This is my room.
It's my room, Jason.
Kessler also complained that his family watches the American History Channel, which includes constant anti-Nazi propaganda.
Okay.
So there you go, guys.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Coming up, we're going to take your phone calls. Donald Trump as a person. There's a new poll that says 59% dislike him personally. Do you agree? Call us. 800-321-0710. Want to know what you think. But first, let's see how traffic's doing. Here's Bernie Viter. And the phone lines are open. 800-321-0710. There's a new Quinnipiac poll out. It said just 31% of voters said they liked the commander-in-chief. Now, they're talking about him as a person, not as a president, as a person, which I guess ties into being president. It says 59% dislike him. So what do you guys think? Do you think it's a fair poll? You think that the numbers sound right? Does it matter? What do you guys think about these polls? 800-321-0710. While you're dialing us up, I'd like to tell you that Chris Breitkopf of Selden, New York, was the first caller to correctly identify that this was the Mets' Chock Full of Nuts turning point of the game.
1-0 is bashed deep in the air. Right center field, going to the track, going to the wall. It's gone. Chris Davis home run. And it's Baltimore 3 and the Mets 2.
Well, they broke the 2-2 tie with the Chris Davis homer, and Baltimore went on to win it by a final of 6-3. So Chris wins himself a pair of Mets tickets. Your next chance to win is by listening to the next Mets postgame show right here on 710 WOR for the Mets. Chock Full of Nuts, turning point of the game. Coverage of tonight's game in Baltimore begins at 6:05 here on 710. All right, should we go to the phones, Joey B?
Yeah, all right. Well, let's set up the, give me the number here that don't like Trump personally, don't like his personality.
59% dislike him.
Okay, as a person.
As a person. Now, 54% don't like the job he's doing. So that's according to this poll, 54-41. Okay. You know, Rasmussen has him at 50.
50, right.
And it also says that voters said by 54-37 that President Trump has emboldened people who hold racist beliefs to express those beliefs publicly.
Well, that's a separate issue, I think. I think the issue has to do with the way he treated, the use of the word dog here to describe Omarosa,
right?
That sort of thing.
Okay. Let's go to Charles. Lead us off, Charles, in Valhalla, New York. Good morning, Charles.
Hey, Len. Love your show.
Thank you.
But the 59. I mean, who can like Donald Trump? He's brash. He's New Yorker. He's got all of these crazy affectations and tics and everything, except his supporters love him.
Do you like him as president, Charles?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fine. A lot of people have broken that down. They said, I really don't like the guy personally, but I think he's doing a good job as president.
Right. I mean, maybe I just like a strong man.
Okay, well, you got him. Thanks, Charles. Appreciate it.
Well, the other thing, too, is that keep in mind, leaders have to be strong. They're not Santa Claus or Mother Teresa here. You got to have an edge to be successful. All right, let's go to line six. We're going to go to Rob from Franklin Square, New York. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, I'm a Republican conservative. I voted for every Republican president since the second term of Nixon when I was 21 years old. You had to vote then. I can't stand Trump. He's a disgrace to the presidency. I voted for Peter King. It's the first time I didn't vote for a Republican president. He's got away the stuff that he got away with in New York before he became a president, with the bankruptcies, the people that he stiffed. I mean, he's supposed to be such a great guy for the working guy. A lot of the stuff is added on, like this Omarosa. She's a screwball, but I mean, that's the people that he has in his administration. Everybody, all these people that's got it, that comes and go. They're picked by him. I mean, it's nonsense. To me, around the world, I would think that the people would say it's a disgrace what's happening with the presidency. Or he's got a lot of good things going with the economy. But what happens when it turns? What is he going to do then when he's faced with Bush W. He had a great economy for 6.5 years, and then when it went south, these things, they're cyclical.
Rob, so you did not vote for Trump?
I didn't vote for Trump. I wrote in for Peter King.
Interesting. Would you not vote for Trump in 2020?
You know what? I wanted this guy to give me the opportunity to vote for him. Certain things that are doing with the economy going like this. Is it everything because of him that the economy's this great? I heard that I don't like to give Obama any. I think Obama and the guy before Reagan, Carter, were the worst presidents of my lifetime. But the 4.1 thing.
Right.
They said there was one month it was like that with Obama.
Had five of there somewhere. Yeah. All right. I hear you, Rob.
I think that had when thanks, the GDP. Rob. I think maybe I don't know. Look at the economy was awful under Obama.
It was bad. It was bad. He was dealt a bad hand too.
Well, look, he had 8 years to fix it.
Yeah. Well,
Trump is in here less than 2 years, and the economy's
let's
churning.
See if it's sustainable. Okay, I just got an email from a listener who said it's not sustainable. Trickle down doesn't work, and you can't raise spending and cut taxes.
Okay,
it just
good.
Doesn't work.
Elect your progressives and start raising taxes. See how that works. Yeah, of course it'll.
How about Vinny on Long Island? Save us, Vinny. What's up?
Hey, good morning. I kind of laughed when I heard that question. Polls are like mailboxes. Everybody's got one. They're all different.
they're not mail. Yeah, we know what you're saying. Right.
And then I get a guy like this who says, that GDP thing. I mean, in less than 2 years, the guy's turned the economy around. Okay. Absolutely, positively turned the economy around. What the media is doing, this dissemination of hate, And criticism. I mean, that's what we all hear. That's what everybody hears. But you don't hear the real news. You don't hear the good news. Okay. And by the way, how is he a racist? The guy just hired the first brigadier general, right? African American female in history. That accommodation he gave. I think it was to the boxer who was accused
Jack
of maybe you guys can help me out, murder or something like that.
Jack Johnson. No. It was actually the Mann Act transporting a woman across state lines. It happened to be a white woman, and he was black. It was Jack Johnson, the boxer.
Yeah, the surgeon general, African American. I mean, the guy's he's got a history of great deeds in the African American community. So it's all baloney. It's all baloney. The guy's done a fantastic job, not just the GDP, but look at North Korea.
We hear you, Vinny, but he does have a history of some questionable racial decisions. Take one more, Joe.
You pick it because I can't do it. But let me just say this, Len. I don't like his personality either.
Okay.
It really is.
A lot
it
of people
bothers
have said
me.
That.
Bothers
but,
me.
But you like him as president.
Absolutely.
Okay. How about one more? Eric is listening on the app in Illinois. Welcome to the show, Eric. How you doing?
Good morning, Len. First, I just want to loyalty back to you.
Well, thank you. Isn't that nice of you? Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it.
With that being said, It's ridiculous. I had the pleasure of meeting President Trump on two occasions before he was president. I met him in the lobby of the Trump International Hotel and Tower in Central Park West. And then I got a chance to be with him again live at a WWE pay-per-view when he was having a billionaire's battle with Vince McMahon and he got to shave his head. I mean, is he a little brash? Is he a little, whatever? But I mean, we all knew that when we elected him. We love President Trump. I mean, the media will not give him credit for the things that he's gotten done. All they want to do is say he's a racist and a bigot. Amorosa, I'd love to see her stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and get run over by a box truck full of fish headed down to the South Street Seaport.
That's not nice. We don't want to advocate violence, Eric. Let's play nice.
No, I'm just saying, he's so great and he's this and that, and then all of a sudden, how conveniently, she's got a book to sell. and now she's best. Now right. that she's got a
thanks,
book.
Thanks, Eric. We got to run, but we really thank you for listening. I really appreciate you listening and listening from Illinois. And I met Trump on many occasions before he was president. I always found him very charming and personable. Hey, when we return, goats in the city. Sure, why not? Plus, that TSA dance-off and a lot more. But first, Pretty Fighter has wrapped.
WOR.
8:54 in the AM on 710 on the AM, and got some great videos to show you on the radio. So they'll have to come up with that technology joke. Why can't we show videos on the radio? They have to go to our website to check them all out.
It's almost like, because a lot of people listen to us on the website. So
that's true, too.
It's right there.
But also, all right, they could just go over on the website right. and mm-hmm. check it out or listen on the app, as that guy from Illinois did.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we've got a bunch of great videos we put up at 710WOR.com/LennandMichael. Before we do, you know, whenever there's a beer story, I hear from it immediately from Joe Bartlett. Oh, I got a beer, another beer story. Okay, Joe, go ahead. What's your little beer story?
This has to do with my friend Jim Cook, who is the head of Sam Adams, a Boston beer company.
You know him?
Yeah. We did a lot of shows together. He used to come on every time. Really? They change their beer. It's seasonal. Every season, right. they have new beers, and usually he comes on and tells me about
it. Why do they pick you, Joe?
I don't
glug,
know.
Glug, glug, glug.
I'm a good customer. I'm a good customer.
Thank you, Blaine, who's filling in for Natalie. But wait a second. Does he live in New York?
No, he lives in Boston.
Okay.
Cape Cod, I think. But anyway, he is in. He went to Bedminster and had a meeting with President Trump and extolled the virtues of the tax cuts.
So he's happy because obviously corporate tax cuts have helped businesses.
Right, but there's a Massachusetts mayor of Somerville, is now going
that's
to
a big town. Yeah,
going to boycott Sam Adams beer because Jim Cook was so complimentary of the president.
But is this mayor just personally, or is the whole town?
He's calling for the whole town to do it. Listen to what Cook said. He said because of tax reform, it's a big deal for him. 85%, I bet you don't know this, 85% of the beer made in the United States is owned by a foreign company.
Hmm.
He has 2% of the market. He is the largest American beer maker.
At 2%, yeah.
At 2%.
So Budweiser, all those.
They're all foreign-owned.
They're all those, yeah.
And he says, you know, because he's a U.S. company, when he sells overseas, he is hit with a lot of tariffs.
Wow.
So he's
all right.
All for President Trump.
All right, get your
go
friend
go get
on
him,
the,
Jim.
Get your friend on the air.
I'll call
we'll
him.
Talk to him. Hey, this video, I think this is the best of the lot. Anthony found this, who's our assistant producer. There's a North Carolina guy and his girlfriend. They're checking out. They're at a wireless store in a town called Lincolnton, North Carolina. And there's a guy in a red hat that's just leaning down and staring at the guy's girlfriend's butt.
Sometimes you can't help yourself.
Well, but he's leaning down. The video's unbelievable. You got to go look at this. He's just staring, and finally, the boyfriend sees what's going on, walks over to him, and he throws the best left hook I've seen this side of Frasier. I mean, he just cold cocks the guy.
Well, he asks the guy first, "Are you staring at my girlfriend's butt?" And the guy's backing up going, "Yeah, I was."
Boom.
Well, that's a bad answer.
You got to see this left hand. It's a great left hand. Anyway, the girlfriend said, "Don't call the cops," whatever. She asked the boyfriend to apologize. But apparently, he cold cocks the guy. The guy picks up his hat, leaves the store. And then the boyfriend just turns around and continues his transaction at the cash register as if nothing happened. But it's the funny scene of the guy staring at the girlfriend's butt. Check it out on the website, 710WOR.com/LennandMichael.
A little nudity for you here.
Uh-oh.
Half-naked woman goes berserk during a flight and got tied up. I'm looking
what?
At, yeah. Flight from Moscow to Turkey.
Well, that
explains
it right
there. A little too much vodka here. Yeah. Woman reportedly was drunk when she boarded the aircraft, having a few too many drinks at the duty-free bar.
Hmm.
So she started acting violently, threatening and scaring passengers not long after the plane took off. So they subdued her. They put some seat belts around her, and there she is. You can see her on the floor.
Yeah, but they said she started ripping off her shirt.
Yeah.
She was wearing a black bra.
She only had a bra on, right? Yeah,
she did a Brandy Chastain.
There we go.
There you go.
There we go.
All right. These are always cute. I mean, if you want to go, and share a video. So this young airline passenger is going through security at Newark, and the kid challenges the TSA officer to a dance-off.
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
Cute.
This is great.
It's really
yes.
good. I mean, the officer and the kid are just dancing. Great scene at the TSA. They're not, you know, not just out to get you. There are, you know, some good guys working there, and there's a fun dance off. Check that one out at the website as well. Now, what's this deal with goats in the city?
20 goats escaped from a truck that was headed to a Brooklyn slaughterhouse. They knew where they were going. The driver pulled over to take a nap. Hey, the goat said, hey, he's sleeping. Let's go. So they broke free. They were doomed, and they busted out of the trailer. So we have some pictures of the goats on the
loose. On our Twitter feed, at LenMichaelWR. By the way, the guy who punched out the other guy who's looking at his girlfriend's butt.
Yeah.
Here, listen to this. Boom.
Oof.
He got him. And then the your lady going berserk on the plane.
Yeah, you got him.
Yeah! Oh my God!
Yeah! She sounds good.
My God! Yes,
I'll drink to that, lady.
Oh,
all
my
right.
God.
Terrible. All right, we have a serious story. This broke yesterday, and it's just heartbreaking. We're going to go live to the scene of that bridge collapse tragedy in Genoa, Italy. And that's coming up next after the news right now on 710. It is 9 o'clock.
Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on The Voice of New York.
710 WOR.
Good morning, everyone. On a Wednesday morning in the big city, sunny, hot. We'll stay hot for the next couple of days. Joe Bartlett, good morning to you.
Good morning, Len.
What excites you today? What floats your boat on this August the 15th?
Well, I think two things. I'm tired of Omarosa.
Okay.
And I'm very upset by the story out of Pennsylvania about the priests abusing over 1,000 young children. Very, very upsetting.
And another upsetting story, and it really has wide ramifications. We're going to be going live to Genoa, Italy in a few minutes to ABC News correspondent Julia McFarland. I mean, that bridge just collapsed.
Oh, I know it.
Last number I saw was 39 dead. I don't know. It's probably gone higher. Julia will have the latest numbers for us in just a few moments.
I saw the video of a truck. This box truck just was able to stop at the edge of the bridge where the collapse occurred. Fortunately, the guy survived.
So many vehicles went down. But but the whole idea of aging infrastructure.
Yes.
So that touches every, you know, we've talked so much about infrastructure here in our country. Now there's a they're up in arms in Italy. They want investigations. They want people fired. It's all about infrastructure. So,
well, look at we're complaining about the repairs on the Route 49 overpass over the Lincoln Tunnel.
495.
495.
Right. That goes into effect. Some lanes are going to be cut down starting Friday night.
But you look at the just that structure. It's almost 80 years old.
Oh, I know.
It's got to be repaired.
I know.
Should be replaced, but that's impossible.
Just think of this concept. All these structures and bridges and tunnels were built by the lowest bidder 70 or 80 years ago.
Really?
And so, there were issues. I mean, not to make light of this. So we'll be going to Italy momentarily. Our big three stories, and really you touched on a couple of them, Joe. You have the shocking report from the grand jury in Pennsylvania. 300 priests sexually abused at least 1,000 victims. And the kicker here is just about every single one of those priests will skate as the statute of limitations has run out.
And you know what's sad, too? The Vatican, no comment.
I heard that.
No comment.
That surprises me too, Pope, doesn't it?
Yeah, I know it. He's been very strong in his issue.
Oh, absolutely.
With the zero tolerance, but no comment on this one yet.
None. I saw that. Also in the big three, the Trump campaign filing arbitration now saying Omarosa violated her non-disclosure agreement. That's a little bit controversial. Should you have non-disclosure agreements in government work when it's not dealing with classified material? But in any event, the press secretary, this was a big hoo-ha yesterday, she could not guarantee that a Trump tape with the N-word does not exist. She couldn't guarantee it. And a lot was made of that.
No. What was it? Was the question about the tape or not? Do you have that?
Yes, the question was about the tape. You want to hear it?
Yes, yes.
Okay, here we go. This is all about the tape here. And this is the follow-up from Kristen Welker of NBC News.
Just to be clear, you can't guarantee it.
I haven't been in every single room. I can tell you the president has addressed this directly. He's addressed it directly to the American people. And I can tell you what the focus and the heart of the president is. And that's on helping all Americans.
But the question was, can you guarantee that the tape of him using the N-word will not surface?
Has he ever used the N-word?
No, I thought it had to do with tape. Now, we just have the answer. This is the long initial answer that Sarah Sanders gave.
I can't guarantee anything, but I can tell you that the president addressed this question directly. I can tell you that I've never heard it. I can also tell you that if myself or the people that are in this building serving this country every single day, doing our very best to help people all across this country and make it better, if at any point we felt that the president was who some of his critics claim him to be, we certainly wouldn't be here.
Yeah, so
that's, I don't know, but is she in a position to say that it was never, that President Trump never used that word?
Well,
she's not in a position to guarantee that.
However, he has said it, and in the past, she has backed up everything he has said.
And he tweeted about it yesterday. He said it's not in my vocabulary. Correct. There's no tape that exists. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Rounding out our big three, that story in Great Neck was just as stunning. The 66-year-old woman invites basically a stranger, but invites her in for some dessert. And I guess they're going to play the piano or something. And at some point, the 66-year-old woman decides that her house has evil in it, and she stabs this guest to death in Great Neck.
And she didn't even know the woman.
No, didn't know the woman.
Crazy.
Just a crazy story. So those are some of the big stories we've been dealing with today. And as I said, momentarily, we shall go to Genoa, Italy, and ABC News correspondent Julia McFarland. I don't know how they're dealing with that. This was a bridge, industrial town near the Italian. What do they border with? Is it
there was France?
Italian French border. Yeah, that's what I thought. And well, let's bring in Julia McFarland to paint the word picture for us. Julia, good morning. What are you seeing, and what's the latest?
Good morning, Len. Well, I mean, it's just an incredible sight to see. This bridge, the scale of this bridge is huge. It's clear to see that the section of the bridge that collapsed yesterday, hundreds of meters wide, it would have taken dozens of vehicles plummeting down with it as it fell down. This morning, the local prefecture raised the death toll to at least 39 people are believed to have died. Dozens have been injured. Some remain critically injured and are still receiving treatment in hospital. Sorry, if you can hear, there's a lot of traffic next to me because there is a search operation is still underway for people who may be trapped in the rubble. There have been ambulances and fire engines going past us. All morning there have been helicopters buzzing over our heads. We can see in the distance that there's heavy machinery sifting through that heavy concrete and debris, although there are now little hopes of finding anyone who might be left in the rubble. But there are a small number of people who are believed to still be missing.
Hey, Julia, one of the issues here about the infrastructure and this bridge in particular is that Italy really doesn't have the money to fix up its infrastructure. How's that playing out as part of this story?
Yeah, so Italy is going through a horrendous financial crisis at the moment. Unemployment is a huge, huge issue here. The government is also dealing, it's got the heaviest debt load in all of Europe. Now, the government is really sort of struggling to find the cash to fix its infrastructure, much of which is quite aged and in badly need, bad need of repair. And, you know, part of the growing anger here is the fact that this is now the fifth major bridge collapse in the last 5 years. This is not an isolated incident. People have been asking a lot of difficult questions of the government, and the government themselves, a lot of politicians have been pointing the fingers elsewhere. There's sort of politicians have been blaming the Autostrad company, the company that maintains the highways. They say that they have fulfilled all of their checks, sort of local authorities as well. The Genovan Public Prosecutor's Office has opened an investigation into possible and negligible homicide. Now, it's anyone's guess as to how long that investigation, it'll take for that investigation to reach a conclusion. But, I mean, until it does, one can expect that no one is going to claim responsibility for this tragic accident until then.
And they wasted no time. We're on with Julia McFarland of ABC News. And Julia, they wasted no time in finger pointing because one of the elected officials already said they should arrest or they should charge the people who are oversee this particular bridge. So they're already, you know, calling for the heads of some people.
Yeah, I think they are very, very sensitive to just this swelling anger amongst the Italian people. Today is particularly tragic. This accident is particularly tragic because today is a national holiday. It's one of Italy's biggest national celebrations. Ought to have been a happy day today. And indeed, a lot of the people who were traveling on that bridge were families heading off on their holidays. One tragic story of a young family with a nine-year-old son, a picture of them looking happy and excited as they were on their way to Sardinia in the south of the Mediterranean for their holiday. That entire family are among those killed in the rubble. So I think the politicians are reacting very quickly to a tidal wave of huge public anger and resentment at this accident, which is widely seen to have been an accident that really ought not to have happened and could have very easily have been avoided.
What was there concern about this bridge prior to the collapse? And the other question I have for you is, was this just sudden or was it slow in terms of how it went down?
So witnesses have described, some witnesses say that they felt a sort of rumbling in the bridge. Some of them had enough time to reverse and run out of their car. I don't know if you've seen that one of the most widely circulated images is this green truck that managed to slam on their brakes just meters away from the edge that remained standing. That truck itself still remaining abandoned. We can see it on that bridge today.
We may have lost her. Anyway, great report. That was Julia McFarland, ABC News, from the scene in Genoa, Italy. And I can guess some of the phone communications must be tough with all the rescue operations going on right there.
So. I saw her on the nightly news last night. This is a national holiday, Ferragosto, whatever that is. I don't know.
I've been in Europe on this date. It's weird. Really? It's in a couple of countries. France is a holiday in France. I actually arrived in France on this date.
Really?
And it was a weird thing. President Nixon had done something with the dollar, and all of a sudden they wouldn't accept any American money the day you arrived. I arrived. It was crazy. But it's August the 15th. That's a holiday in many countries in Europe. Anyway, we thank Julia McFarland. What a scene that must be, and she painted the word picture for us, and we appreciate that. Hey, coming up right here on our show this morning, we have the pooper intendant getting his payoff, and also getting a payoff is the kayak killer. Boy, a lot of alliteration going on. But first, we've got Bernie Viter with traffic. And we're at 9:24. Glad you can be with us. Joe Bartlett riding shotgun with Michael Riedel off today. Remember the story we followed for quite a while, the pooper intendant?
Yes.
Remember this guy? His name is Thomas Tramolini. He was the Kenilworth Public School superintendent. And for some reason, he'd go out jogging, and he'd do a number two on a daily basis near or on the Holmdel High School football field and track.
Did we ever determine whether or not this was just a normal human function that happened to occur at that particular time?
Well, he was out
jogging.
Or was
he doing this for some other reason?
Well, they kept saying it was a rival high school, but
I don't think it was a rival high school. I think we debunked that.
Well, yeah. You know, according to NJ.com, authorities never released the motive for the serial defecation.
Maybe the guy just had sort of, you know, indigestion issues
on a daily basis. He was very regular on a daily basis. When you gotta go, you gotta go. That's the way it works.
He ran, and I have to go. The bathroom's still back at the house. This is a convenient spot.
Anyway, he's been relieved of his duties. But here's the deal, and it's just interesting to note that he will receive his full salary through the end of September. He gets 2 months severance pay. And he gets nearly $24,000 in unused vacation. Do the math. The pooper intendant of schools will walk away with $100,000.
Bothers you? District. Well, you think he should not get his accrued vacation?
Yeah. Doesn't it make
should
it
not get back pay? Should be fired immediately with no pay?
Doesn't it make it sound like crime pays?
No, the guy doesn't have his job. It's just he's being paid out through the end of the year.
Isn't there some like poop clause that you have in your contract that if you get caught,
put one in?
Maybe you have one in your contract here at iHeart. That's the voice.
I definitely do.
That's the voice. Well, and we know why. That's the voice of Blaine, who was filling in for Natalie. But no, I've never had a poop clause.
I was very curious about why this guy was doing it.
Yeah.
And if in fact it was just business, sort of, I had to go.
This guy will forever be known as the pooper intendant of schools. Way to go. Now, there's another one involving somebody getting money, and you got to question this one, too.
Oh, this is a lot of questions. This is the woman who killed her boyfriend by unplugging the kayak that he was in, knowing that the guy couldn't swim.
Right, and she got a very light sentence, didn't she?
Yes, a reduced charge of criminally negligent homicide, even though she deliberately pulled the plug and watched the guy drown.
So she deliberately pulls the plug of the kayak. She kills off her, what a lovely fiancé.
Vincent Villafiore was the guy's name.
Yeah.
And he drowned.
Talk about a bridezilla.
Yeah, and so she got a light sentence, too.
She did, I know.
I mean, she was out in a couple of months.
Right.
And to make matters worse, in my opinion anyway, she is now allowed to collect part of his life insurance.
Well, that makes no sense.
No, absolutely not.
How do they figure that?
Well, I guess the parents made a deal. They probably, maybe they didn't.
A settlement, huh?
Yeah.
They just didn't want to drag it out. But apparently there were a couple of, and that's why she clearly, did she ever admit to doing this?
Yes.
Well, she was found guilty, but wasn't she doing this for the insurance? He had like three policies or something?
She's going to get between $500,000 and $600,000.
No, she's not.
Yeah.
How much did the policies all add up?
She had, there are three different policies, apparently.
Well, that's why she killed him. No?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they did apparently not get along, and then
she was
angry. I guess that was her story. Look, I was angry at him, and I wanted to teach him a lesson, so here. Drown.
Wow.
I mean, how bad is that? I mean, it's bad enough that she was just given a life sentence of just several months for killing the guy. Right. Now she gets half of his insurance policy, walking away with at least $500,000.
I don't know. You think it's that much? I thought they came to some kind of a secret settlement or something that they didn't want to say how much she's going to get.
Well, this is the New York Times, so we know this is true.
This is the failing New York
Times. Failing New York Times.
Yeah.
He had three policies, and she, according to the Times here, according to a lawyer for the Villafiore family, she is going to receive between $500,000 and $600,000. Wow.
That doesn't sit
not right.
I can't believe she got such an easy sentence when it was cut and dried. I mean, she pulled the plug on this guy in more ways than one.
But the problem was the prosecution was not able to prove that she intended to kill him by pulling the plug.
Oh, she pulled the plug just to see what would happen.
Yeah, just to aggravate him.
Okay, fine.
It worked for her.
It did. All right. So Michael Riedel's on vacation. Joe Bartlett's filling in for Michael Riedel. That means somebody has to fill the shoes of Joe Bartlett. That somebody would be Mike Bauer. So it's time for the latest news headlines. Good morning to you, Mike.
Good morning, Len. Good morning, Joe. Trying to fill the shoes of Joe Bartlett.
It's tough.
Here's some fake news. Press Secretary Sarah Sanders bragged that Trump had already created 700,000 new jobs for African Americans.
When President Obama left after 8 years in office, he had only created 195,000 jobs for African Americans. President Trump, in his first year and a half, has already tripled what President Obama did in 8 years.
Not so fast.
Yeah, the challenge there is that the economy actually added 3 million jobs for African Americans under President Obama, even when taking into account the recession. Sanders then tweeted, "I'm sorry for the mistake, but no apologies for the 700,000 jobs for African Americans created under President Trump."
I have to tell you, when everyone throws around numbers on both sides, I glaze over anyway, so I just don't know what's true or not true anymore. And this is kind of interesting that this came out of official White House press briefing, and she had to backtrack. But you just wonder about all these numbers because they're so hell bent on trying to say they're doing better than Obama. Just relax a little bit, you know.
Well, it's clearly they're doing better than Obama when it comes to the economy.
But you got to relax because you know why you have to relax? Because today is National Relaxation Day. I think we all need to take a deep breath, just relax. Let's go through our daily lives. Let's not get all heated about this politics stuff. Oh, I'm sorry. Were you doing a newscast over there?
I'm sorry. What? I was relaxing. Residents of the South Bronx have a new way to get Manhattan. It's a ferry route on the Soundview section that makes its debut today.
Faster, gonna cut down on the traffic, the congestion, the train issues. I think this is great.
The way the trains are right now, it's so packed and so congested, so now this is gonna help.
Takes 46 minutes to get to Wall Street with stops at 90th and East 34th Streets. Cost $2.75, same
that's
as a subway
deal.
Ride.
That's a great deal.
They've got this waterway going around the city. I mean, it's really, I've seen that in the Rockaways. It's a good deal.
It's fantastic. Now, if you haven't had breakfast yet, how about some fried rattlesnake? A Phoenix woman found the snake in her backyard, began hitting it in the head with a shovel, which I think is the right way to defend yourself against a rattlesnake.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Then her dad suggested they keep the skin as a souvenir and eat the meat. So she did. An expert says it's like eating chicken. A chicken finger, but with a lot less meat than a chicken finger.
Huh. I guess people do eat snake.
Yeah, I guess they do.
Is that considered a delicacy in some places?
Maybe in Arizona. The closest I've had deep-fried alligator tail.
You did?
Down in Florida. It was pretty good.
It tastes like chicken.
It tastes like chicken.
No, but it really
did. With a barbecue sauce, really, literally.
Deep-fried alligator tail.
Correct.
I haven't heard of that one. With barbecue sauce.
It was tasty. It was thicker than a chicken finger, that's for sure. And more meaty on that level. All right, let's check the...
Morning. On 710 WOR.
You know, we've been covering a wide swath of stories today from the abuse scandal in Pennsylvania involving all those priests and 1,000 victims. We covered that bridge collapse in Italy, and we covered Amorosa. But, you know, the story that because I live near Great Neck, and you just don't hear of stories like this, but really got to me that this lady, the 66-year-old named Faye Dumption, invites a British tourist into her home for cake and coffee and then stabs her to death. She said something like... she claims she needed to get rid of the House of Evil. That's what the
that is weird, isn't it?
Isn't that a weird story? So this is the Nassau County Detective Lieutenant Stephen Fitzpatrick. Listen to what he had to say about this.
Sometime during while they were sitting in the living room, they were talking, and the woman made statements that she did not like the woman from England. She claimed she needed to rid the House of Evil.
So it's a British tourist.
Yeah, now she was there. The Miss Dumchin,
yes,
did not know the victim. The victim was the friend of a male visitor.
She knew the male, though.
She knew the male
Maybe
person.
Maybe there was something that she flipped out of. She knew the male. I don't know. Something happened.
Then appeared from the kitchen with a kitchen knife, walked right over to her, and stabbed her in the chest. This woman died as a result of these injuries.
Crazy?
How do you explain that?
You can't. And the neighbors can't understand her either.
Unheard of. I could never imagine something from her.
Of course, it's scary, you know, a couple houses down the block, and to think this woman was just living there and something set her off.
Yeah, it really is.
Shocked. Really shocked. Really shocked.
Now, apparently she had one prior arrest, but it's all the way back in 1999, Joe.
Yeah. She used a weapon, though, right?
She did use a weapon. Yeah. It was second-degree assault. Dumption's lawyer, Robert Gottlieb, now this is the story in the Post, said that she has a long history of mental illness.
I would probably think so. That's a good bet.
So. Did you see the story about El Chapo?
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't aware of this. Were you aware of this?
No, I was not.
Okay, so the trial is going to start in November in Brooklyn, but because he's such a risk, I mean, you know, he gets broken out of any jail he's ever been in. He's being held in a high-security prison in Lower Manhattan.
Correct.
So they have to get him from Manhattan to Brooklyn whenever there's a court hearing. And every time they do that, they stop the traffic cold on the Brooklyn Bridge.
Wow.
Just boom, they close it down. And obviously, this is New York City. It's a mess. I didn't realize this was going on. So every time this happens, they close the bridge down. Now, when the trial begins in November, they're going to have to close down the Brooklyn Bridge twice a day for up to four months. Yeah.
4 months.
Yeah. So anyway, the judge, Brian Cogan, in court yesterday acknowledged, this is according to the story in the Times, acknowledged that there are valid concerns when it comes to traffic. So they're looking for other solutions.
Well, why not just hold him in Brooklyn?
Well, that's one possibility, but apparently it's not as secure to keep him in Brooklyn.
Well, fortify it. You got some time.
Other ways, you could fly him over the river in a helicopter.
No.
You could ferry him across in a boat.
No.
No, that's not good either, huh?
That's not secure.
So, did you know this was going on?
No.
Shut the Brooklyn Bridge down because of El Chapo? That's what a threat they feel he is. And they bring him over the bridge in a speeding motorcade of heavily armored cars.
I would think so.
They're so worried. He was the guy in Mexico where he escaped out of the bathroom. They dug this long tunnel, right, a quarter of a mile at least, the prison.
We've seen movies like this, you know, when the guys are being transported, their comrades come in and intercept the caravan and free the bad guy.
I got a question for you, Joe Bartlett.
Yes.
So far in 2018, so we're a little over half a year, or 7.5 months, how many robocalls, what they call spam phone calls, have people received in the United States in the first 7.5 months of 2018?
Let me take a wild guess.
Take a wild guess.
$16.3 billion.
Perfect.
I saw the story.
No, I know. Is that crazy?
That is 16. Crazy.
I think I got half of them. I'm telling you, that's all. Those are the only calls I get are spam robocalls, both on my cell phone and calls at home. It's unbelievable.
The problem for us has exploded in the last couple of months. The phone rings nonstop now. Just last week, on two occasions, we had 20 of these calls. The previous day, 17. It was so annoying that I called Verizon. I said, you have to stop this. And they gave me some software called No Mo Robo Calls.
Does it work?
Yeah, but it kind of works. What happens now is when it comes in, it rings once and then disconnects.
So you still get a ring.
You still get one ring, but at least it doesn't ring, 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 ring.
What about on your cell phone? Can you use that on your cell phone?
I suppose so. It's not as big a problem on my cell phone. Although when I get robocalls on my cell phone, it's usually in Chinese. But it's crazy. Really? You answer the phone, it looks like a local number. And you guys are like, how do you
know
that?
We know what they're clever about. They call you where the first three
local number,
digits
yes, yeah.
are the same as your local number on my cell.
Yes.
So it's the same three
yep.
numbers. And you say, oh, this is a familiar number.
But if you don't know it, don't pick it up.
I never pick up. If a name doesn't come up, never.
Here's an interesting information. If you don't recognize the number of an incoming call, let it go to voicemail. And they say that if you pick it up, because I used to do this, I would pick it up and try and say, put me on your do not call list.
Right.
That only creates more phone calls for you.
That's something?
Yeah.
Well,
so just
that?
Let it go. Let's let it go.
Well, what about that do not call registry? Does that work? I've never tried that.
I put my number on, and it seems like right after I did that, I got more calls.
There's a group called UMail that they claim is a robocall watchdog.
Uh-huh.
And they offer free call blocking software. I wonder why. I mean,
was it called UMail?
Yeah,
UMail. Okay, fine.
What would be in it for them? YOUMAIL. But they supposedly offer this free call blocking software. So here's what they said. They said in May alone, the average American fielded more than 12 spam calls. Really? I must get 12 a day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I'm telling you, it's just unbelievable.
It's really out of control right now. And the federal government should do something about this. You should not be allowed to harass people.
Well, maybe they shouldn't allow robocalls. Maybe you have to have a live person.
Well,
that's what's killing
it. That's true, yeah. Well, I mean, that would cut out a lot of calls.
But can you imagine 16.3 billion?
That is a lot of them. And the thing is, I think if...
what are they pitching you?
Sometimes it's a lower interest on a credit card.
Okay.
Sometimes it's my warranty on the car, even though I don't have a warranty.
Right.
There's IRS calls.
Oh, I've gotten a few IRS
solar
calls.
Solar power calls.
Last week I got two IRS calls.
Yeah.
My wife got something. They claiming they were calling from the FBI. I mean, just nonsense.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's ridiculous.
People take it seriously.
Something needs to be done about this.
All right. Come on, folks. What can we do? Let's get rid of these robocalls. Hey, we have a couple of callers. You know, if you're kind enough to wait, we're going to take a commercial break. But Victor, if you want to wait, you want to talk about robocalls, we'd love to have you on. We're going to have to wait a couple of moments, though. I think that's everyone has.
Yeah, well, absolutely. It's a big problem right now.
It really is right now. Coming up next, in addition to Victor's phone call, if he's kind enough to wait, we'll have spanking hippos. No, really. Who would want to spank a hippopotamus? True story. And the potty mouth parrot. Another true story. But first, let's check out traffic with Bernie Bunn.
And Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
And coming up on 9:54 at the top of the hour, we'll be going to Mark Simone right here on 710 WOR. I think we touched a nerve, Joe, talking about robocalls and the fact that so far this year, according to one source, there have been 16.3 billion spam phone calls. And we touched a nerve. Victor, we thank you so much for holding on for a few minutes. Victor in New Jersey, good morning.
Yeah, I want to mention Mike's. What I do to handle these calls, and I think I have somewhat of a solution. First of all, the do not call list does not work because it just blocks legitimate telemarketers, which are in the minority. These are scam calls. They connect you with a live person overseas. And if I have the time, I string them along as long as possible and give them a fake credit card number and all that. And if they recognize that it's not a legitimate number, I tell them, well, you spoofed a number that's not correct either. So I'm just wasting your time like you're wasting my time.
Wow.
And
you do this with a live person, huh?
I connect with the live person, and I give them false hope that I'm falling for their scam. I give them a fake number, a fake expiration
date. Tie them up for
date.
A while. All right.
And here's the – I have a solution to it, and I did suggest it to my phone company. Why don't they block a call from coming in if it's not originating from the number that they're showing up on caller ID?
There you go.
You have to match the caller with the number. Good call, Victor.
Why don't they just not allow that call to come through if they're if it's not from their originating phone?
Idea. We'll have to have Chuck Schumer do a Sunday news conference.
Well, they don't seem to respond to that, but that would be the solution.
Thanks,
okay.
Appreciate it. Let's also check out Margaret, New Jersey. Hey, Margaret, good morning. Thanks for calling
in. Hi, I love you guys. Listen to you every day.
Thank you,
and
Margaret.
My solution is I do pick up and I say, you have reached the fraud division of the blank police department. If this is an emergency, hang up and dial 911. We are not in the office right now, so please leave a message.
That's funny.
Or go to your local precinct. I rarely get that far. As soon as I say fraud division, I get a hang up.
I think the danger, Margaret, is that you've answered the call and then they've said, hey, this is a person who will answer, and you're going to get another call.
But I hardly get any calls anymore.
Margaret, leave us your number. We'll call you.
Sound
like you need you sound like you need a hug.
Okay.
Thanks, Margaret. Thanks for calling. Let's take one more before we move on. All from New Jersey. Are they getting slammed? How about Bill? He's in Short Hills. Hey, Bill.
Hi. There are no robocalls. Schumer took care of this months ago. Don't you remember that Sunday morning?
Yeah.
Always.
And not only that, but Verizon is not going to stop this because they make money on the other end. They don't care about you. The caller pays them, so they're not going to stop them. If they stopped all those people, they'd lose all that business.
The cynicism around here is just running rampant.
There you go.
No, the phone companies do get paid.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate the call. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Hey, listen to this. I mean, people are basically nuts, which we know that. That's why we're here 4 hours a day to chronicle it all, Joe. This is the L.A. Zoo. They got a couple of hippos who live there named Rosie. Make your own punchline. Rosie and Mara live at the L.A. Zoo. Well, I guess people, you know what this is all about? People have videos that they want to make viral. So there's a video out there of a guy jumping the fence, running up to Rosie. And spanking her. That's the whole video. So you go up and spank a hippo and then run away. I guess they're trying to make a viral deal. But, hippos are not, you don't want to mess with hippos, Joe. Well, for example, last weekend there was a tourist from Taiwan was killed in Kenya.
Sheesh.
And in another incident, a local fisherman was mauled to death. This is according to Fox News. So. Really? You want to jump? You want to make your little video by spanking a hippo in the L.A. Zoo? Dumb.
It's a little dangerous. By the way, I just got a text from my wife.
Yeah.
3 robocalls since we started talking about the subject.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So you really do have a problem.
Oh, we do have a problem.
I don't get that many. I get them on my cell phone. On my home phone, not as much.
Yeah. Okay. I'm about to disconnect it, to tell you the truth. It's so annoying.
Yeah. Well, you don't answer them, do you?
No.
You have caller ID, right?
Yeah.
Hey, listen to this one. This is a funny story, maybe a good one to end with, Joe. So the London Fire Brigade was called over in London to help rescue a parrot that was stuck in a roof. I guess it was stuck up there for like 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
This is north of London, and it spent 3 days stuck in the roof of a house in a suburb. And the fire department gets there, and as the fire brigade gets close, did you hear this?
Yeah.
The parrot tells the firefighters to F off. It says the whole word.
Of course, yeah.
F off. The fire. Which is kind of funny, I think. There was a happy ending. It's just funny. So the potty mouth parrot.
That's funny.
It was out of the telegram.
How long was it on the roof? A couple of days?
It was stuck 3 days in the roof. Yeah, so. But the firefighters would get close. F off! F off!
Well, you just throw like a little sheet over him and he'll quiet down.
I don't know what happened. So he flew off to another roof and then reunited with her owner. But I think the owner probably taught the parrot. What's going on in that
from
house?
Somewhere, yeah.
What kind of a potty mouth house do you live in, lady? Anyway, they rescued the guy, but the parrot. But kind of funny.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it. Any unfinished business?
No, that was fun. Let's do it again tomorrow.
You know what? We'll come back tomorrow. I have it on good authority that we may be getting a phone call from the Oval Office.
Oh,
tomorrow.
Great.
Looking forward to that. If you missed anything today, feel free to check out 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. Coming up next, Mark Simone after the news at 10 o'clock.